Would you like an update on the sign?
Yes.
The missing
breaking
sign?
Breaking news.
Before we get to sports. First of all, some of the text coming in, not overly supportive on this. People saying, hey, look, it's Steve Cochran. Aren't you Billy Joel? Hey, look, it's Tom Skilling. Okay, that's not funny. but the update on this is engineer Bob Ferguson has located my sign.
Nice.
He found my sign.
There you go, Bob.
Now the big mystery is, who put it behind the file cabinet?
Oh.
It was behind. They're kept in a place. The signs with people's names in them are kept in a certain place. And mine was literally behind the file cabinet.
Don't look at me.
For an update on this, we go to producer Joe Romano, who's filling in today. Joe, what's the latest on that in there?
Clearly, this was not an accident. This was a somebody did this on purpose. Mm-hmm. I would assume jealousy, but I'm looking into it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying this was an act of intention?
Absolutely, yep. Absolutely. I am. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Sign was damaged also, by the way.
Oh. Yeah, there are teeth marks, which is weird.
Wow.
Oh, well, so we have dental impressions.
So it's more than just the corners being bent.
Ah, we have dental impressions on them. Okay.
What does that mean?
And ladies and gentlemen, all I can say is the show is going to get stupider from here.
Oh.
So.
Ooh, boy.
You've been warned.
Moving right along.
Well, a tough end to a great run for Loyola and a 69-57 loss to Michigan last night in the Final Four. With the end of the season, it was time to reflect for head coach Porter Moser. He loved this team and especially the contributions of the two seniors that were with him from the start, Ben Richardson and Dante Ingram.
They believed they belonged. They believed like they wanted to advance. And in any time in life when you invest so much into something, it's harder to let it go. And those two have invested everything. They've done everything we've asked them to do. Everything. And I'm a better person and a better coach for coaching those guys.
It was the school's first trip to the Final Four in 55 years.
I want to say that we are all, and I mean this seriously, mm-hmm. that we are all better for watching this team,
oh, yeah.
this group of young men, that coach, Sister Jean. It has been nothing but a positive experience, and I feel bad that they didn't go all the way. It would have been nice to see them go all the way, but I'm so proud of what they did.
Yeah. I mean, and I tweeted last night, the only thing I could really think to tweet was thank you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, it was more of a lesson in how to handle yourself through the good times and
Absolutely.
The bad.
Absolutely.
And all class. So
broke my heart. I'm sorry, I don't remember their names. The two players that have known each other since third grade.
Yeah, it's Ben Richardson and Clayton Custer.
Yeah, that were walking off the court arm in arm and, you know, obviously holding back tears and their emotions.
Yeah.
My heart broke for them. But what an inspiration. Both of them and all of the guys mm-hmm. on this team and the coach. What an inspiration to all of us of how we all should act.
Yeah, and you could tell Coach Moser was really into it because Ben Richardson was walking through the tunnel and he had his jersey up over his nose and he was basically crying. And Porter, it was caught on some TV camera. I think it was something on Twitter last night. He said, hold your head up high. Hold your head up high. You turned this program around.
Very true.
So, I mean, he's so aware of things, even in the worst of times. So
nothing but grace and dignity from Porter on that. Absolutely.
Good lesson.
So as we get started on this Easter Sunday morning, happy holidays to one and all. It's happy Easter. Happy Passover weekend to all of our Jewish friends. Happy Palm Sunday. To our Eastern Orthodox, my Greek peeps, and many others who the Eastern Orthodox face, a very, very important Sunday for many. Chwani, I have a gift for you.
You do?
Yeah. Not going to tell you what it is right now, though.
Well, I have a gift for you.
Okay. Well, let's change gifts in a little while. Not going to give it to you right now, though, because my pal Patrick Elwood from WGN-TV is on the phone line with us. Pat's still in San Antonio, I believe, right?
Good morning, Dean. I am in San Antonio. It's been a beautiful stretch of weather here, 72 and sunny. And while I'm greatly disappointed, like so many others, Loyola lost so happy to have been down here and been so close. This one just has been just a beautiful storyline in so many regards, as you guys have been talking about.
I just want to offer congratulations to you, because you have done an amazing job covering the Loyola Ramblers during this run for WGN-TV. Now, I know that you've covered Cubs championships and Bears championships and Bulls championships. You cover them all. How does this compare with some of the others that we've had in Chicago from the reporter's perspective?
It ranks right up there, if not number one in and of itself. The intangibles that we have been talking about. Here's a team that just came out of nowhere. A basketball program that has been, I want to say in the dumps, but I mean, you would go to home games in the last several years and there'd be hundreds, not thousands of people there, hundreds. You had a coach who was fired from Illinois State 10 years ago. And the people who were really close to the program attended the games, and you have your loyalists as well. But and then March came along, and one buzzer beater after another. They win the Missouri Valley Conference, one buzzer beater after another. Here's a team did not have one player on this starting lineup that is in ESPN's 2018 mock draft. And I think that is so emblematic of what Chicago is all about. This is a lunch pail group. Put your head down. Go to work, don't look for any credit or any glory, and get the job done.
Right.
And then along the way, they got the best sixth woman in the game in Sister Jean.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Right, right. What was your sense from fans that you talked to? And you talked to hundreds and hundreds over the last couple of weeks. Did you get that overwhelming sense of pride and much of which you have just described from them, or they're just enjoying, we're number one kind of attitude?
I kept hearing the word surreal over and over again. Part of the magical formula to what this was all about is that nobody expected, except probably, the coach and these guys who believed in themselves. I think it was Ben Richardson that said, hey, we believe we were going to win the national championship. Most of us who are watching from the sidelines, we started to pay attention, and we really liked what we saw, and it was unexpected, and I think that was part of what made this so special. If you go to Kansas, you go to Villanova, you go to Michigan, the Blue Bloods, there's an expectation that you should be fighting for the national championship every year. In Chicago, that has been absent since the late 1970s and early 80s under Ray Meyer and DePaul. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be there every year. And I think what this Loyola team has done is kind of rekindled all of that. Now, keep the guys at home. Or if you're playing in another state, come to Chicago. Little engine that could. Little modest university on the lakeshore up north. It's a wonderful place.
Yeah. What were your encounters like with Sister Jean? I mean, I loved it. It was inspiring. It was so sweet. And then I thought to myself, this has to be so exhausting for her because she became the darling of this entire run for the Loyola.
I have to tell you that she's the clarity of thought and so nice at 98. And I mean, her energy and whatnot. I sat back and I would watch her, and there's nothing fake about this lady. It's all from the heart. It's so genuine. And she represents, as you said before, dignity and grace. And those are winning characteristics. You know, in these days of just visceral politics and the crime and punishment news that we have to endure and reports our responsibility, you know, this lady comes along and she's just so nice. You know, such a lovely person. And, so many people towards the end were just like trying to get her time, right? Okay, she became, in essence, the storyline A and storyline B. She became, even the players said it, she's getting more attention than us. So at some point, she stole the spotlight a little bit, but she was just so gracious, and people would be coming up to her, clamoring for her time, and she would just smile and talk and say hi and all of that. And I just thought, wow, how great is that? And the story, we're on a mission from God, and whatever you think about that, it was sweet. Very sweet.
Yeah, really, really sweet, very exciting, very inspirational. And I got to say, nobody draws a crazy response out of fans like a Patrick Elwood.
You know, I just
I was laughing. I was watching the news, watching you, you know, getting the fans to go nuts with you and, you know, give you fun responses. It was really entertaining to watch through the week.
You know, I'm sure you're with me on this. We have great jobs. We have such a wonderful deal. We can get into people's lives and share their great moments and share their sad times as well. And, you know, I like to speak from the heart, because at the end of the day, we're just regular folks, right? We have to like to relate. And that's what I bring to the table. As I said, you can, if I can get somebody to just be themselves, and I'm a knucklehead at heart as well, I really enjoy bringing that out of people.
Yeah, job well done. Are you headed back today, Pat?
I'm in the airport right now, so I mean, the sidebar is that I get to spend some time with the family today, and I didn't screw it up this time. I got gifts for the wife and the kids, not in the airport. Actually, got it out and about in town.
Nice.
I scored one for the home team.
Nice.
I'd like to be with you, Dean. I think the world of you. In the absence of James Brown, you are the hardest working man in show business.
Well, I think we all step up when we need to step up, and you are definitely one of those. Proud to be a friend of yours. By the way, I don't know if a lot of people know this. Patrick Elwood is the only coworker that I have ever worked with in my entire career whose head I've shaved.
This is true.
Yeah,
it's the St. Baldrick's organization,
yeah.
And they do great things there. Thank you for that plug. It's like what the Beatles sing in the end: the love that you make is equal to the love you take, and vice versa. So, step up when you have to, I guess. Right?
And you definitely have. Patrick Elwood. We see him on WGN TV. Safe flight home, Pat. We'll see you in the office soon.
Dean. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. Happy holidays, everybody. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, buddy. A quick break, and we will get to kids sports next on WGN. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN, and it's time for
Kids Sports.
This morning, and we are pleased to welcome to the program today Amanda Janis from Oak Lawn, Illinois. Amanda, welcome. Nice to have you here.
Hello,
with us.
Thank you for having me.
How many times have you been in the studio now?
Well, I was on the radio like 2 weeks ago with you, and
right.
Then I've been on WGN News.
Right, you've been on television
year.
Also.
Yes.
Yeah, you're a big TV star also.
Oh yeah.
Were you here before with the Mother Macaulay Choir?
Yes.
A couple of years ago, maybe?
So. No, 2 weeks ago was my first time.
2 weeks ago was
yes.
Your first time. All right. But also with television, she's part of this amazing Mother Macaulay a cappella choir that we've had on the show, on this radio show a couple of times. And we've had them on television at our somewhat raucous broadcast that we do at 115 Bourbon Street in Marionette Park every year. And Amanda mentioned to me that you're interested in broadcasting.
Yes.
And, you know, that you're interested in sports. And I said, well, you should do our kids' sports segment, even though, you know, you're quite the young lady. I wouldn't exactly call you a kid. But just for purposes of doing this today, I think we're going to call you a kid.
All right.
Yeah. So tell me what are, you know, besides you're part of this amazing a cappella choir. Beside that, like, what are the other things that you like to do? What are the other things that you're interested in?
I really love performing. Recently, I was in our musical, Les Mis at Macaulay. I was Cosette. And
Cosette, that's a big role.
Yes.
that's like the big, like an emotional couple of moments in the show.
Yeah, yeah. It was a fun part. I loved doing it.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, and I love to sing. I sing all the time, and I knew I wanted to keep performing in my life, so I decided I would study broadcasting.
Yeah, and are you a senior at Mother Macaulay?
Yes, I'm a senior.
You're a senior, so you're going to be graduating next summer.
Yes.
Right?
And, in May, I'll
yeah?
be graduating.
And do you know what your plans are after that?
I'll be going to DePaul University.
Very nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Not making a last-minute switch to Loyola now to get on the bandwagon, anything like that?
Oh, no, but I'm so proud of them. We made it so far.
That was great.
Yeah.
And you want to get into broadcasting.
Yes.
What's your interest in that?
After being on WGN the first time, actually, I was like, this is amazing. I want to.
I think what she's saying is, when she was on WGN, she realized if those idiots can do this and make a living,
of course not.
Anybody can do this job. I can easily do a much better job than them.
Oh my goodness, no! You guys are awesome.
No, you're so delightful that when you've been here with us, and I think it's great that you know you kind of have an idea of what path you want to go down right now. Your family must be really proud of you.
Oh, yeah, I hope so.
Your family, who you did not allow in the building this morning.
I just know I would get so nervous with people around, so I was like, you guys have to stay in the car.
That's so funny. So wait, was it Mom and Dad and your brother?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You made them go sit in the car someplace and not come here into the glamorous digs of WGN?
I mean, my mom was going to come in with me, but I was like, I'll just freak out if I see anyone. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it probably helps that you're right in this big window here on Michigan Avenue.
Yes, the whole city of Chicago right here.
The whole city of Chicago can watch you. Well, we're delighted that you're here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Her name is Amanda Janis, and she's here with our kids' sports this morning. Take it away.
Okay. The Cinderella run for Loyola University officially struck midnight yesterday as they lost to Michigan 69-57 in the national semifinal. Loyola led 7 at halftime and held a 10-point lead at one point in the second half, but just couldn't hang on. Michigan will play Villanova in the national championship game Monday night in San Antonio. Nova cruised in its Final Four matchup, beating Kansas 95-79. In baseball, Wellington Castillo's two-run double in the eighth inning put the White Sox ahead for good, as they beat the Royals 4-3. They'll go for the sweep this afternoon in Kansas City. Andy Mazur has your pregame starting at 12:40. First pitch is at 1:15. After a 17-inning marathon on Friday, the Cubs and Marlins went into an extra innings yet again last night. This time, the Cubs topped Miami 8-4 in 10 innings. Chris Bryant cleared the bases with the 3-run double in the 10th. In hockey, the Blackhawks are officially off until Wednesday, when they'll play the Blues in St. Louis. This is Amanda Janis on the Dean Richards Show on WGN Radio.
Very nice
Thank
job.
Thank you. I stuttered a little bit.
Very, very, very nice job. I don't know if you noticed there. There's Andy Mazur.
Hello, Andy.
He's up on the
Thanks for the plug. Appreciate it.
right now. That's all. We're all just in this for the name mentions, uh-huh. Amanda. So we're going to give you a $50 gift certificate from Lou Malnati's. So you and the family, you and your family who you've banished.
from, spend it all on them.
Yeah, right. They also cannot have any of the pizza, apparently. Also.
Oh, my goodness. Of course they can have the pizza.
So we're going to give you that, and we thank you for coming here.
Oh, thank
here
you
today.
So much for having me.
Happy Easter to you and to all of our friends at Mother Macaulay also.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming in. Now, if your kid, a young man or young lady, is between the ages of 8 and 18, and you think that they would like to be on Kids Sports, we would love to hear from you. Just send a note to me, DeanRichards@WGNRadio.com, and we'll put them down on the list and see if we can get them in here one of these old Sundays. Now, I notice every Easter Sunday morning, I'm going to miss this when we move to the new building. On Easter Sunday morning in particular, clearly families coming down Michigan Avenue, walking, you know, people in town,
mm-hmm.
Clearly dressed up,
mm-hmm.
clearly, you know, it's kind of a special morning for that, a lot of people.
Yes, it is. And it's nice, well, you know, it's cold out, but other than that, it's dry, so they don't have to worry about rain today,
people are
so
enjoying it.
They're out.
Taking pictures.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
I thought you were going to continue there.
No.
I have nothing and else. looking at the sign that is in the window
people,
saying WGN's Dean Richards on the air.
A lot of people walking by going, who is that devastatingly handsome person in the window? Is he for sale? Turns out he is.
How much is that gorilla in the window?
Oh, man.
Take our advice at any price.
Magilla, gorilla for sale.
Mighty nice.
Wow. 2 cents. Anyway, for personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago.
I don't want to say anything. I don't want to brag, but
no.
I promise you, Jane Pauley is not singing the Magilla Gorilla theme song on her little
Sunday.
She
probably doesn't even know the words.
That probably doesn't even know who he is.
We've got a gorilla for sale. Magilla Gorilla for sale. Yeah. Won't you buy him, take him home and try him? Gorilla for sale. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center on this
take that,
Easter
News Radio.
Sunday.
Take that. Take that, Felicia Middlebrooks. You're not getting that over there every 20 minutes.
And Dean, Andy, and everyone, our far-flung forecast takes us north to Alaska.
Oh, yeah, this music sounds just like Alaska.
All the way up to...
North to Alaska?
North to Alaska, which was a song about 50 years ago.
More than that.
And I think it was a movie with John Wayne, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
To be precise, Sitka, Alaska.
Oh, I've been to Sitka, Alaska.
Have you been there?
I have.
Have you been to Sitka? They estimate that there has been human inhabitants around that area for the last 10,000 years.
Really?
Yes. And it was settled by the Russians around 1800 and then finally purchased in the Alaska Purchase by the U.S. on October 18th of 1867. And, of course, Alaska becoming a state around, I think, 1959. Is when they achieved statehood.
That was correct. One of the most beautiful trips I've ever taken, by the
way. Isn't it gorgeous up there?
I cannot recommend an Alaskan cruise. I think that's the best way to see everything. I can't recommend it. It's breathtakingly beautiful there.
It is. And this is near the Juneau area here. So mm-hmm. It's in the southeast portion of Alaska. Mm-hmm. But we bring up Sitka, Alaska. Because people who live there will always remember this date in 1974. The reason for this is there is a large mountain, a dormant volcano, yes, near Sitka called Mount Edgecumbe.
Oh.
Mount Edgecumbe.
Edgecumbe.
And, you know, as they say, it's been lying dormant, but there was one morning in 1974.
Not so dormant?
It didn't look that way. People noticed some dark smoke coming out of more or less the top of the mountain, and people were understandably concerned.
Oh, you don't want to see dark smoke coming out of anything.
You do not. And so the Coast Guard was dispatched, and the Army and so forth.
Yep.
And as they flew over Mount Edgecumbe, the smoke was the result of a large tire fire that had been purposely set. And underneath the tire fire were the words spray-painted, April Fool.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Oh. I'm not kidding. April 1st, or 1974, in Mount Edgecumbe.
Wow.
And the person that is responsible for this Fool's
Please tell me they're
joke,
still in jail.
No. Everybody laughed about it.
Really?
It was done by a man who was known by everyone as Porky. That was his nickname. Oliver Bicker was his real name, but everybody knew him
Porky's
as
at it again.
Porker.
Porky. Porker or
Porky? Porky. Porky. Excuse me.
Big difference.
Yeah.
Big difference.
But he brought a bunch of tires.
I can't believe you just said
and
that.
And as everybody knows, you know, when you have a tire fire, you got
good.
A lot of dark smoke, let alone the smell.
Yeah.
So this was a cause for
But everybody
concern.
Thought it was funny.
Everybody, when they found out what it was, everybody took it rather good-naturedly.
Porky. That Porky's at it again. That
Porky is at it again.
That Porky.
It's gotta be Porky. Oliver did this. So there was the April Fool's joke for 1974 in Sitka, Alaska, where, get this, it is warmer in Sitka, Alaska than it is in Chicago right
that's
now.
Great.
It's 36 degrees in Sitka.
Well, until we start some tire fires here in Tribune Tower. See what kind of sense of humor the Chicago police has for that.
And as to whether or not Porky is still living in and around Sitka, I have no idea.
We've lost track of Porky. If anyone knows where Porky is, please let us know immediately.
Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour. I'm Dave Schwann on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You know, I did have a thought when we were, you know, kind of singing and talking the Magilla Gorilla theme song.
Yes.
That we should make that a regular portion of the show where...
Pick an old cartoon theme.
Pick an old theme song and not sing it like we remember it, but do it as a dramatic reading. serious music. And we do it as though Orson Welles or... you know, so like a serious, in a serious version of a silly theme song.
Does that include Woody Woodpecker?
I don't see
with
why
the
not.
The giggle?
Ha 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 ha.
Ha 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 ha.
Ha 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 ha. That is the Woody Woodpecker
theme.
Song theme.
Flintstones.
Meet the Flintstones.
The Flintstones. They're the modern Stone Age family.
Yabba dabba do time. A dabba do time.
We'll have a gay old time. Through the courtesy of Fred's man. 2 feet.
See, I think we've got
I think we've got something.
We got something here. Hey, Bob, are you there on the phone?
I sure am.
From Naperville?
I am.
We've sparked something here this morning, haven't we, with this?
Well, I just, you know, hearing McGilla Gorilla got me thinking of the old Wholesome Bread jingle. Does anybody remember that? I'll be happy to do it.
To do it. I vaguely remember it, but if anybody would, Schwani would. Schwani, do you remember
the Wholesome one? No.
The Wholesome Bread jingle?
I don't.
Bob from Naperville.
Here we go. At 3 a.m. when you're in bed, the Wholesome Bakers are baking bread.
Yes,
and that is the reason it tastes so good, like oven fresh Wholesome Bread should.
H-O-L-S-U-M, 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 Wholesome Bread. Right?
Yeah.
Yay!
Nice.
Now imagine that with some really classy music.
Well, and I got an encore if you want to hear the Lincoln carpeting one too.
Why not?
When you're thinking Lincoln, better carpeting for less, call National 2-9000.
National 2-9.
Ring-a-ling-a-ling 1000.
See, people thought I was kidding when I said the show's only going to get stupider today. I was not exaggerating.
Thank you very much.
I was not exaggerating at all. Hey, we're going to send you one of those. You know, you always hear us talk about those My Pillows. We're going to send one to you for cheering up our morning a little bit today.
Well, thank you so much. Love you guys. Have a great day.
All right, buddy. Thanks very much. I appreciate your call. It's 9:45. Yeah, I'll admit it. Dean Richards, Sunday morning.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps. Ready to race to you.
9:49. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Guessing, bringing back some memories for you with this theme song from the TV show Happy Days. Ran from 1974 to 1984 in first run, and then, of course, in rerun heaven ever since then with Ron Howard. The star of the show is Richie Cunningham, but emerging as the big star of the show came Henry Winkler as the Fonz, who is now co-starring on a new HBO series called Barry, which is Sunday nights on HBO. It premiered last Sunday, and I really liked it a lot. I watched it. I really liked it. It actually is a vehicle for Bill Hader, formerly of SNL. Henry Winkler plays this bizarro theater coach. Bill Hader is a hitman. A hitman who decides that he wants to go into theater. It's kind of a funny premise, and the characters seem to be very rich and going to be multidimensional. I enjoyed the first episode, that's for sure. Henry Winkler was in town to promote that and some other projects that he has got going on, and he visited with us this week at WGN Morning News.
I loved this, Barry. How much fun is it for you? I have to think you're channeling some acting teachers or something.
Well, I've had in drama school, in college, and then in graduate school, I had 16 teachers. Wow. Yeah. And he's a combination of all of them, you know? Some teachers can really teach you. Some teachers care to teach. My teacher really cares about the student when they can pay on time in cash.
Right. In cash, straight cash, too.
Yeah. Hit the priorities. What's it like working with Bill, number one,
Bill Hader,
on HBO, number two?
You HBO, can do anything. It, you know, finally, it's not television. It's HBO.
Right.
And I'm on it. Bill Hader and his co-producer, co-creator, Alec Berg, together they make a bubble of greatness, a bubble of genius. They really do. And I just want to say before I leave, last night I had one of the greatest meals here in Chicago that I've had in a long time. And I want to say Brindle, B-R-I-N-D-I-L-L-E, Brindle. I'm not kidding.
Where'd you check it out?
Oh, it's French. I had sole. Oh, I can see. I smeared a lot of it on me just to keep the.
Just the smell. I wondered what that smell was.
When you walked into the studio,
thank
it's like,
you.
It smells
thank
like French
you.
Cuisine here.
Yes.
Well, that's
it's
good.
It's Dover sole.
Henry, not only smearing Dover sole all over him, but also another history in Chicago. 1979.
Yes.
The Happy Days cast would frequently go out and play ball against charity games.
Well,
and
you know that I was a Cubby before I became an actor.
I did not know that.
Well, I didn't either. Yeah. I just made that up.
No, it's okay.
But we went to Wrigley Field,
right?
And I met a lot of the celebrities and a lot of the players, and we played an exhibition game.
Right.
My father was an older gentleman at the time, and he got lost in the crowd, and this is where Tom Bosley was born, right here in Chicago.
That's exactly right. This was a Chicago media all-star team that the Happy Days team was playing. That's Phil Donahue right there.
Yes, and all I could do was pitch. They taught me to pitch because I'm so dyslexic. I have no good eye-hand coordination. So they taught me to pitch, but I couldn't catch. So if they hit the ball toward me, I turned my body and I stopped it with my body. I was black and blue for 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and that has all prepared me for our new show, Barry, on HBO, Sunday night at 9:30.
Mm. Henry, I was curious with working with Bill Hader.
Do I get to keep this? Is this a gift? A parting gift?
At your own risk.
Yeah, at your own risk.
We don't know what kind of photos Paul may have put on it.
Oh, I love this little mouse.
Yeah, it's
a
little
mouse. They're kind of hard to move.
It's a meese.
You're so easily impressed. I like this guy.
I know. You know what? I take nothing for granted. I truly believe your career is built on tenacity and gratitude. You know?
That's good advice.
I was wondering, with Bill Hader coming from SNL and improvising a lot, is there some improvisation on this show?
There is, but it's written. Barry is written with such precision by the two, by Bill Hader and Alec Berg, that, yes, I was able to improvise. Or I told them about a teaching event that I had with a teacher, and that scene then morphed into a scene I do with Bill later on in the episodes.
Despite doing that, you're an author of children's books as well.
My partner and I have written 34 novels for children.
Is there a single day, though, that it goes by where somebody doesn't ask you about an episode of Happy Days or something Happy Days related?
But you have to understand, if I did not do that, I don't know if I would be here at this moment talking to you. I love the Fonz. He presented me to the world. He put a roof over my head. He sent my children to college. I appreciate him very much. And I'll tell you how loyal he is. The Fonz watches Barry on HBO.
Yeah, there you go.
That's loyalty right
that
there.
Is good
love.
Fan. So, given that, then, can we ask you a Happy Days trivia?
Anything you want.
Happy Days
or
trivia
any
question.
Any question you want.
The question is this.
What is the question?
What actor originally played the role of Mr. C in the pilot? Is it A, Harold Gould, B, Jack Cassidy, or C, Charles Durning?
Okay, that's the one question I will
A,
not answer.
A, B, or C?
All right, and I say that it was Gould. What was his first name?
Harold
Gould.
Which letter would that be in
that
our...
That would be A.
How was that?
A. I see what you did there.
It's the only way we could trick you.
I see you led me right into
it's
that.
It's the only way we could
you know
somehow trick you into doing that.
Do you know
that?
Why I went A? I went A because A.
I love it.
Or, you know, A, I'm hungry. Or A, don't mess with me. And then a few years later, I added a word. Whoa.
Classics,
which
right
came
here.
From horseback riding. Now my favorite sport is fly fishing for trout. I don't know what I would do with.
Doesn't have quite the impact.
Doesn't.
Doesn't. Nice though. I like it.
We have interviewed Henry Winkler many, many, many times.
And it's such a pleasure to see you again.
I just want to say how delightful you are on camera, off
camera. I agree,
One of the nicest guys that there is.
Okay.
Right there.
Did you hear that? Barry, 9:30 on HBO.
That's what I meant
to
say.
Good guy.
Henry Winkler visiting with us on the WGN Morning News this past week. As you can see, easily distracted and jumping around from conversation to conversation. I know a lot of you are going to be emailing me today asking about the French restaurant that he mentioned. It's Brindle's, which is in the River North area in kind of downtown Chicago, 534 North Clark Street, but Brindle is the name. And Lauren Jiggetts and Dan Ponce, as you heard there, also joining me in the interview. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to update the news. Then we're going to find out what our Easter Sunday forecast is going to be like from meteorologist Mike Hammernick. We've got a lot going on here this morning on Dean Richards Sunday Morning, WGN. All right, we'll update news in a couple of minutes. Schwani, aren't you dying to find out what your present is?
I am.
That I have for you?
Yes, I am. In fact, I was just thinking about it a minute ago. I can't wait.
You're going to love it. I also... remember a couple of weeks ago I gave away junk that was just sitting around the office?
Yes, I do.
Like stupid stuff that was sitting around the office.
It was snatched up, too. I mean,
it was took it. Snatched up like crazy.
Yeah.
This morning I found a box full of stuff that I guess they're cleaning out closets and things.
Right.
You know, in anticipation of our big move down the street.
Yep, yep,
and
they are.
I don't remember this, but apparently at one time we gave away WGN tire gauges.
Huh. Really?
Do anyone remember that?
Tire gauges?
Yeah, where you test the tire the air pressure on your tires. Do you remember? You don't remember that?
No.
Yeah. So I've got a bunch of those WGN tire.
How are there any left?
I know, right? I know. It's amazing that there's like a giant box full of them. So I just grabbed a handful of them, and I just find it amusing that we find the stupidest stuff, and the phones go crazy like we're giving away $1 million or something. So we'll give away these tires.
Those will be very popular.
Well, you know, air pressure, proper air pressure in a tire is very, very important.
It is.
As we know. These are the Schwani's presents.
So I don't get a tire gauge.
I'm just going to tease you with the noise.
I don't get a tire gauge.
Well, give me a tire gauge, too.
Are you going to give away the sign on the last day?
My sign in the window?
Yeah.
We could.
That you found with teeth marks in it.
Yeah. Somebody's...
You can have my sign if you want it.
Wow.
That's what I made for you.
That was specially made.
Yeah, I'm keeping Andy's because it's from the heart.
Exactly.
Okay.
This one we'll just throw it away. The other one. It's time for the news, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Just on that subject of snow real quick before we go to the break.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend of mine in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Up there, you know, in the UP.
Oh, in the UP, yeah.
The UP up there.
Oh, yeah.
He told me
really
they got
beautiful.
He told me they got 10 inches of snow there yesterday.
Oh, sure. That's fine. They just deal with that.
You know, he wasn't so happy about it.
No, they're tired of it there, too, I would imagine.
He wasn't being quite as happy about it as you are.
Well, it's April there, too, and they're probably ready for spring and warmer weather.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't blame him.
Yeah, can't get out to get my pasties.
We will check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN. WGN Sports, Andy Mazur.
Well, you guys were just talking about bad weather in the Northeast. Some in the Midwest as well, as forced a postponement of the White Sox and the Royals game that was scheduled for this afternoon at 1:15. That will be made up as part of a day-night doubleheader on April 28th.
What?
Yeah, so you have to work another 20 minutes today.
We're supposed to be off early today.
Yeah, you're supposed to be off at 12:40, but you're not off until 1 o'clock now.
No, I'm happy to be here as much as I can.
Can sing some more commercial jingles and, you know.
Cartoon songs,
sitcom songs.
My big question is, have they found someone to be here from 1 to 3?
That's a really good question.
Because I can see a text coming in going, Dean, we couldn't find anybody. Is it possible for you to stay?
Yep, gotta go.
I think I feel a cold coming on.
Crickets. Yeah. This was the first game the Ramblers lost this season after leading at halftime, and their 14-game win streak is also over.
The team is expected to leave San Antonio sometime this morning, so I would imagine that there will be some type of a rally at the Gentile Arena, as have been has been the case most of the run right here in the tournament.
I have to think it's going to be kind of massive. I think I heard last night on some of the post coverage that they were going to celebrate an Easter Easter morning mass in San Antonio,
right,
and then take off after that.
So, yeah, so probably sometime the 3 o'clock area, I would imagine that that would probably take place. But we'll...
I'll still be on the air then.
we'll effort to find out your replacement at 1 o'clock and also what time that that ceremony may take place.
Might be a good day to have our kids' sports kid come back.
Come on back.
You know, they can do 1 to 3 today.
You want to be in broadcasting? Here, you're on the air from 1 to 3.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. They're not home yet. Turn around and come back.
Good point. They probably want to use the gift certificate.
Yeah.
The Splains between Roosevelt and Harrison. Very important.
One of my favorite days on Maxwell Street where you can get pastel-colored gym socks for the Easter holiday. Very nice.
I mention this every week because this is my lobbying effort to do the show from there.
I've been
at some point.
I have been asking about this forever. Apparently, they're too busy in the promotion department.
How will we get there with all the roads closed?
That's very true. It's going to take a lot of planning, more planning than we originally thought.
720 WGN.
This bit of music gives me goosebumps every time I play it. From the motion picture soundtrack, the 1974 motion picture Jesus Christ Superstar, which was a live stage play before that, starring Ted Neely. I bring that up because later in the show, we're going to replay our interview with Ted Neely when he was here in Chicago doing a production of Jesus Christ Superstar. Super nice guy, really nice guy. And we had a great conversation with him. I thought Easter Sunday is the perfect day to play our conversation with the man most famous for playing Jesus Christ on stage and in the movies. How about this live musical that they're going to do on NBC tonight? They're doing another one of these live TV musicals, Schwani?
Yep. Seen the promos for
all Jesus Christ Superstar Live with John Legend.
Yeah.
As
Boy,
Jesus
does he
Christ.
Sound good.
I think that's going to be amazing. Sarah Bareilles is going to play Mary Magdalene in it. I'm getting goosebumps already thinking of her singing I don't know how to love him. Yeah.
Doesn't Mary Magdalene sing Everything's All Right?
Yeah.
That's a great song.
Yep. Yeah. And, the lead vocal in this song is normally the actor who plays Judas. And in this production, it's going to be Alice Cooper.
I was going to say, are you waiting to see Alice Cooper tonight?
I am so curious to see this now. Because in a way, that's rather brilliant casting.
When you think about it, yes.
Yeah, when you think about the one who betrayed Alice Cooper
is the betrayer.
Yeah, I don't remember any snakes at the Last Supper, but anything like that. But Alice Cooper's. I think it's going to be a very interesting production of that. I'm looking forward to it.
That will be good.
All right, so. These presents I've got for you.
Yes,
this was in my mailbox this morning. I came in. This what I found in my mailbox are two plastic Christmas ornaments. One with my picture in it, wearing reindeer antlers, and one with you.
What?
Do you remember we used to have that big WGN radio Christmas tree? And all of the ornaments were pictures of the people who work here at WGN.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, we're never going to have a Christmas tree again. Because I assume that they're returning the Christmas ornaments with the pictures to everybody, or at least yours and mine.
those are the ones that will not be handed
maybe,
down.
Maybe those are not going to be on there anymore. But there's a lovely picture of you smiling.
A lovely picture?
What?
This face for radio?
Here's the thing is, actually, now that I'm looking at this picture, you're wearing exactly the same thing.
Oh, no way. I've washed it since.
You are wearing exactly the same white sweater.
Oh, my gosh.
How about that? You look the same in this picture. You haven't changed. I don't know when this picture was taken, but you look the same.
I do?
Yeah. Seriously.
I'll have to see this to, first of all, this is interesting. You're giving me Christmas ornaments on Easter Sunday. Is this an April Fool's thing going on here?
Well, do you want the picture of me too, or Jenna, I should keep mine?
You should keep yours.
Okay. So I'm going to give you yours. My picture looks ridiculous.
Why does it look ridiculous?
I look like, for one thing, I'm wearing reindeer antlers, number one. That's part of it. But I just look ridiculous in it. Stupid. I look stupid.
I didn't even know there was an ornament of myself and you on the Christmas tree.
Well, there won't be any more.
There won't be any more.
I found these when I was locating the WGN tire pressure gauges. We have a big box. They're cleaning out there's all kinds of old keychains and junk that the station, very valuable promotion information is what I mean to say. Just stuff that never got disseminated, but there's a huge box of these WGN tire pressure gauges up in our promotion department. So I grabbed a handful of them. And I thought that would be fun to give these away on the show today. Would anybody be interested in that?
I think they would.
Pat, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Are you interested in getting one of these WGN tire pressure gauges?
Oh, very much. I gave mine away last week to my daughter who desperately needed one.
Wait a minute. You had one of these?
No. My tire gauge that I had in my car.
Oh, you're just...
My daughter. It was not one of yours, but I would love to have one that's got WGN on it.
Just your regular one, yeah. Well, this isn't... Yeah. This is like a mini tire pressure gauge, but it still works the same way. And guess what, Pat? Pat, control yourself. You've just won a WGN tire pressure gauge.
There, I controlled myself.
In the NHL, that's a 2-minute penalty for embellishment.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Have a happy Easter.
And happy Easter to you, too. Thank you very much. Let me see here. Steve, where are you? You're on the north side of Chicago. Is that right?
Hey, Dean, how are you? Good morning to you. Northside, Albany Park.
Beautiful.
I heard about these tire gauges.
Yeah.
Over here in Albany Park, Jefferson Park area, we could use a tire gauge. Seems like somebody's been snatching our tires. I figured I might hit up for one of these gauges.
Proper tire pressure in life is so important, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. You have to have the right pressure going through life.
That is the case of so many things in life, really. So, Steve, let me hear your best embellished response to the fact of me saying you have just won a WGN tire pressure gauge.
Easter has truly been fulfilled today. Hallelujah.
Wow. Wow. Steve, hold on for just a second. We'll take care of that for you. Let me see here. We've got, we're going all the way to the south side here, to the south suburbs. Brian, how's things in Alsop this morning?
Hi, Dean. How are you?
Very well. It's a chilly morning today. But
happy Easter.
Likewise.
I just had to fill my tires, and I didn't have a tire pressure gauge. And I took it into the mechanic that I take the car into.
Right.
And he filled them for free.
Oh,
he just took care of everything. But I would love to have a WGN tire pressure gauge.
I think it's an understatement to say that these are collector's items.
I would love to have one.
We're going to send one to you, Brian. Happy Easter to you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Happy Easter.
Thanks very much. Hold on one second here. Let's see. We go to Mark. Are you in McHenry County, Mark? Is that right?
No, Henry County, way out west.
Henry County. Okay, Henry yeah. County. Okay.
I'm traveling today. I'm coming up to Wheaton to have Easter with my family.
Oh, very nice. Now, how would you say the ride in your vehicle? Is it pretty good, or do you think that you're?
Oh, it's great. I'm up here on 88, and there's hardly any traffic, and I'm flying along.
But my question is, how's your tire pressure in your tires?
Oh, my tire pressure is great because I just checked them yesterday, and the reason I'm calling is because my tire gauge didn't work real well, and I need a new one.
Well, you have not just a new one, but you have a commemorative one, a WGN tire pressure gauge.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Hey, Dean, can I make a request?
Of course.
Play some of that good Jesus Christ Superstar music.
I'm going to play
the Wheaton, please.
I'm going to play some more in a minute. You know what? There's a new version of Jesus Christ Superstar that's going to be opening at the Lyric Opera on April 21st.
Oh my God.
We're going to talk to the conductor in about 20 minutes. So I am going to play. I'm going to play some more of it in a couple of minutes.
I tell you, my mother, God rest her soul, she just passed away. But she took my sister and I, when we were like 6 and 8 years old, to that show in the 70s, and I still am, like you, get goosebumps when I hear about it.
Absolutely. Now, did you go see the movie, or did you go see a stage version of it with your mom?
A stage version in Davenport, Iowa, and it was awesome.
Wow. Yeah, I'm telling you what, the live stage versions of Jesus Christ Superstar still as popular as ever, and a lot of people have tremendous memories of family events.
Yeah,
family events, but they know all the words to the songs, and it means something. So, yeah, we're going to talk about that because I think the one at the Lyric Opera is going to be mind-blowingly great.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about that in about 20 minutes. But the bigger thing for you, my friend, this morning, Mark, is that you've got a WGN tire pressure gauge. And really, life doesn't get me better than that.
I'll cherish it. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, happy Easter to you. Enjoy your day today. Tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News, I'm talking with John Krasinski. You remember him as Jim from The Office. He's directing and starring in an amazing new movie. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Plus, I'll have highlights of the live production of Jesus Christ Superstar that'll be on NBC tonight with John Legend. I think I said earlier that Alice Cooper is playing Judas. He is not. He's playing King Herod in the production, just for correction's sake on that. In the meantime, let's get over to Mike Hamernick at our WGN Weather Center. Happy Easter to you, my friend.
Happy Easter. Trying to stay warm over here. Wow.
Yeah, this is not the most ideal day for an Easter egg hunt.
No, it sure isn't. This is unusually cool for Easter, even though it's kind of an early Easter. It's not normally this cold. High today only expected to be 39 degrees, normally up to around 53. So we're talking about 15 degrees below normal for this time of the year. And boy, it looks like this chill is going to continue for much of this upcoming week. We had some sunshine this morning. Some of that sun is beginning to fade as a system passes to our south. Now, we'll miss out on the precipitation from the system that will affect Missouri and areas downstate, but we'll see some of the clouds today. Now, we'll kind of put a lid on our temperature. I think 39 is about as warm as we're going to get today. And then our next storm system here for us here in Chicago will hold off until Monday night or Tuesday. But today, some slick travel down south. In fact, I'm sure you heard by now the White Sox game has been canceled in Kansas City. It is really going to come down there for a couple of hours this afternoon. Some snow and ice. So it would have been real interesting if they tried to play that game. But fortunately for the players and I think the fans, they decided to call it.
Probably a smart idea.
Yeah. It's 30 degrees and it's going to be snow and ice all afternoon long. So I was surprised it actually took them this long to call it, but they did, made the right call there. And that precip is going to slide into St. Louis, Champaign, Quincy, and eventually Indianapolis later on tonight. So if anybody traveling south on I-57 or I-55 today, you're going to run into some of that. It's not going to be a major storm, about 1 to 4 inches, but enough that there could be some slick spots from time to time. But fortunately for us, all that's going to stay to our south.
What about for the rest of this week now, Mike? What are we looking at later?
Boy.
Can it continue cold?
Yeah, the joke around here is the Easter Bunny saw a shadow this morning, so we have two more weeks of winter, and that's what it's going to feel like, because our normal high is about 53. The average temperature for this upcoming week, 42 degrees. That's the average high, unfortunately. We're going to stay cold here. 52 last week was our average temperature, so we're going backwards. We do have a storm on Monday night and Tuesday. That looks like mainly rain. On Tuesday night, it's going to end as snow, though. Not anticipating any accumulation here. But our friends up north in Wisconsin and Minnesota and the UP, they'll get another maybe foot of snow out of this, while we will see mainly rain here in Chicago. Once that storm passes, it looks mainly dry, but real chilly for the rest of the week, with a couple of days with highs only in the 30s once again.
Yikes.
We just cannot get spring going. The problem is we have this massive area of cold air over Canada. It stretches all the way from the Pacific to the Atlantic, and it's not budging. And we're getting pieces of that cold air occasionally, and that's preventing anything warm from moving in. So I don't see this pattern breaking down, unfortunately, until maybe the middle of the month, around the 13th, 14th, or 15th.
Well, it is tradition that for home opening days,
yeah,
for the Cubs and the Sox, if you're not freezing, it's not opening day.
That's true. Hot chocolate and not beer. And speaking of the White Sox home opener, which is Thursday, it's going to be chilly. There's no doubt about that. That's the easy part of the forecast.
Please tell me there's a chance of snow also.
There might be a few flakes and a few raindrops. It's a very small system. It's not a big one like we're going to deal with Monday and Tuesday. It's a very tiny one. It could drift a little north or south of us. It could fall apart before reaching us, so I'm not worried about it right now, but there is that chance that there could be a little light precip on Thursday. Nothing to worry about as far as threatening the game at this point, but it will be chilly. But we'll watch that little system on Thursday, but right now it doesn't look like a big deal.
All right, everybody put on your Easter bonnets. We'll get through this. Hopefully the worst of winter is over.
Yeah, there's a reason the Easter Bunny has fur, and this is why.
That's right. The Easter Bunny ain't no fool, as we all know. Mike, thanks. Have a great Easter Sunday. I appreciate it. Dual Tech News coming up next. And then get an early preview of the Lyric Opera's production of Jesus Christ Superstar that opens later this month. All here, WGN.
Got Chicago News first.
Report on a very important story. I'm not sure if maybe I missed it. In the news that the White House Easter egg roll is tomorrow?
I know. I haven't gotten to that one yet.
Did you get the details on it?
I have not.
The President and Melania Trump are going to be hosting the Easter egg hunt.
Well, now...
Okay. The Easter egg roll, rather. The Easter egg roll on the White House lawn. It starts at 6:30 in the morning tomorrow.
Are they going to be coming back from Mar-a-Lago? Because that's where they're spending the weekend.
I guess so. It's going to be on the White House South Lawn tomorrow morning.
Boy,
and it'll be streamed
online.
It's going to be streamed online.
Thank you for the update.
Yeah. Conan O'Brien said that they were going to do something different this year, that whoever winds up winning the Easter egg roll will get to determine who gets fired next in the Trump administration.
Do they get to tweet it out, too?
Conan O'Brien.
Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour, including the latest on the Easter egg roll at the White House. I'm Dave Schwann on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. I'm not lying when I said I had the 8-track to this soundtrack. I literally had the 8-track tape to this.
I still have the 45 that was the hit.
Murray Head.
Murray Head and the Trinidad Singers.
Yeah, yeah. I had that. If I had the 8-track, I'm sure I had a cassette version of the soundtrack also. And I've got a couple of new versions, some of the new productions that have come out over the last couple of years. I love this soundtrack. I love this show. I mentioned the John Legend version that'll be on NBC tonight. A live musical on television has to be terrifying to perform. But I think it's going to be amazing, as I'd mentioned, with not only John Legend in the lead role, but Sarah Bareilles in it, Alice Cooper. Can't wait for that. I think it's going to be amazing. But what we have to look forward to here in Chicago is a new stage production of Jesus Christ Superstar that will open at the Lyric Opera House April 27th, part of their Broadway at the Lyric series. Each year they do something non-operatic. And this year it's going to be the Andrew Lloyd Webber, Tim Rice production of Jesus Christ Superstar. And joining us in studio to talk about this morning is Tom Dehring, who is the conductor of the show. Just to give us an early look at what we might be looking forward to in the show, Tom also was with the original Olivier Award-winning production from London. Welcome. Nice to have you here with us today.
Thank you. Lovely to be here, Dean.
Welcome to Chicago. You got in, what, Thursday night, I think you said?
Thursday night, yeah.
So are you completely jet-lagged out right now?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's almost dinner time, as far as I'm concerned. But, it's wonderful to be here. What an incredible city.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I'm glad that you're enjoying it so far. Yeah. Hopefully it'll warm up for you a little bit during your stay here. So talk to me a little about your history with the show.
So it's interesting that you played that track from the original 1970s concept recording. That was our inspiration for this particular production. So kind of doing a reboot, going back to that original recording, letting the music sort of lead a lot of the decisions, rather than trying to find sort of a psychological realism through the characters of Jesus and Judas and Mary. It is a much more sort of allegorical take on it, sort of set almost like you're in a gig rather than in Palestine or somewhere. And so we started there, we had actors playing, musicians. We've got the band on stage, so it's a real sort of great big celebration of music, really.
Wow, that's amazing. And your rehearsals for this actually will begin tomorrow, right?
That's correct. Yeah, tomorrow, 10 a.m. sharp.
So do you bring along with you people who have performed in the show from London as well? So you've got people who are as experienced as you are with it?
It's an all-American, brand new cast, some people from New York, some people from Chicago. There is one performer who's coming over from London, a chap called Kevin Cornwell, is coming over to play the role of Caiaphas, sort of notoriously very low and also quite high. But everyone else is... As I say, is American, so I'm sort of looking forward to kind of getting a fresh look at the score through these sort of fantastic actors and singers that we have.
So what's going through your mind at this point? I mean, it's not a show, I guess, that you can redefine too much because people have certain expectations of the show. So what's the process for you at this point as conductor?
So at the moment, we're going to start with the singers. So we're going to look at probably a lot of the ensemble moments, just kind of teaching them the notes and trying to sort of give the sense of the sort of gig-like nature in the way that we're trying to approach it. We're certainly not trying to reinvent the wheel with the score, but what we do want is a really sort of vibey performance, and sort of trying to find a sort of common language in the music making together.
It's been interesting just observing some really classic shows that have been redefined in some ways. Last year, the year before, there was a production of Jesus Christ Superstar.
What was that?
At the Paramount Theater out in a suburb of Chicago,
yes.
Aurora, about 40 miles out of Chicago, which was a mostly black cast.
Right.
That was so interesting, and it was almost a gospel flavor to the show that was so refreshing, but yet true to the essence of, you know, what the show is supposed to be about. Juxtaposed with a production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat that, you know, is also very traditional and same authors.
Yes.
That just played also out in the suburbs, a different theater.
Yeah.
But it was set in Vegas. And people were so offended. A lot of people were so offended that they were expecting to see a sort of a Joseph that they were familiar with.
Yes.
And it turned out to be, you know, it's slightly PG-13, maybe even slightly R-rated version of Joseph. So, I mean, the interpretation on a show like this, like what you're doing now, you know, and your cast and your director and so forth, is going to be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, in London, I think our production did turn some people's heads. You know, as I say, it's not It's not a literal production, and it's quite graphic. You know, I'm not sure if you've read the New Testament, but sort of towards the end, it kind of gets pretty gnarly. you know, we don't sort of pull any punches in the show. It can be, it's quite a sort of visceral experience, both in its kind of in its music and also in the way that it looks. And that certainly did turn some heads, as I say. But the real sort of diehard fans of the music of the original record, they really, really loved it, because as I said, you know, we're putting the music right up the front. We had a fantastic track called Declan Bennett playing Jesus, and he was playing his guitar through Gethsemane. We had Peter playing guitar, we had Pilot playing guitar. So we kind of, as I say, you know, it really felt like the music was at the front. These guys were playing a gig, but also in the background was this sort of amazing story of a man who, you know, is he Christ or is he not? And that's the sort of wonderful sort of question that Judas sings towards the end of the show. You know, are you who they say you are?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's great when, you know, we take shows that we've seen 20 times. And be dazzled by it, some new interpretation of it.
And that's not uncommon for opera to do that either. You know, obviously this is a part of the Broadway season, but you know, Jesus Christ Superstar is dubbed as a rock opera, and I think it's such a wonderful thing that the lyric have programmed this in. And we're able to kind of realize this in a house that's really geared around music.
Let me take a quick break. We'll come right back. Talk more with Tom Deering, who is the conductor of Jesus Christ Superstar, that will be at the Lyric Opera here in Chicago, April 27th through May 20th. Tickets are on sale for that now. We'll tell you how to get those in just a couple of minutes. 1048 WGN. Dean Richards, WGN. Tom Deering is here with us, conductor of the production of Jesus Christ Superstar that'll open at the Lyric Opera. Tom, I mention every time I play this song that I literally get goosebumps. This particular piece of music is maybe one of the most powerful pieces of music ever.
And then that groove kicks in.
And then the groove kicks in.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, and I remember, depending on which version... I've seen so many stage versions of this, but I think of the movie version.
The Norman Jewison.
Yeah.
It's a 70s movie.
Yeah. With the dancers, sort of the go-go dancers.
Oh, yeah. It's real 70s, isn't it?
How mind-blowing that was.
Yeah.
Here's essentially a Bible story.
Yes.
That's coming out that has go-go dancers and rock music.
Yeah.
When we were young in the 70s, was, you know, the most anti-establishment thing that we could possibly be into, you know, something like this.
Well, maybe I could ask you a question then. So when you heard this for the first time in the 70s...
I felt naughty. Like I shouldn't be listening to it.
Right. Okay. And did you go and see it in the 70s?
Oh, I ran to see it.
Did you really? Okay.
I ran to see it because I had heard, I'd read so much about the stage version. I'd seen the movie version before I'd seen anything else.
Okay. And that blew your mind.
And it blew my mind. I could not believe what I was seeing. And it was so different. We talked, Ted Neely had been here. In fact, we're going to replay that interview a little later in the show today, but he's been here many times.
Yes.
And talked about being part of that pretty much from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what an anarchist he felt like, and that whole cast felt like putting something together like that.
Yeah. And he's continued his journey with it, hasn't he?
He's
playing it, I think, around the world.
He still is playing Jesus after all these years. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. He's sort of synonymous with the with the role now. But I can't wait for you to come and see this chap, Heath Saunders. He's going to be playing Jesus at the Lyric.
I can't wait to see it. Is it? I mean, does he have that sort of traditional Jesus look?
I haven't met Jesus yet.
What Easter Sunday is about.
Exactly. For many people. Yeah. Happy Easter, by the way.
Thank you.
Heath, does he look sort of traditional? I I don't know. I mean, he looks fantastic. Yeah. In fact, the whole cast looked fantastic. In fact, I don't know if it's allowed to say this, but the whole cast is very sexy and amazing singers. So I think it's going to be, again, sort of goosebumps for 2018 when, you know, someone like Heath walks out and you go, wow, it sort of looks absolutely incredible.
Well, I sort of love that when, you know, there is this traditional look of the blue-eyed Jesus, which probably wasn't true considering
probably
where he was born and and so forth, his background. But there is that look. I think we all know what I'm saying. And then along come these different versions. Ted Neely sort of had that look.
Yeah.
But then along lately have come these very different and diverse looks.
Yes.
I talk about the all-black version that played out at the Paramount, which was, it was, you know, again, I felt like I was watching something that I'd never seen before, even though I'd seen it a million times. John Legend playing Jesus tonight.
Yeah, what a voice.
Is going to be very interesting, a very interesting casting to this. So,
absolutely.
You know, I wonder about the lyric version and how all of that will be presented.
What to say? I mean, it's a very diverse cast.
Yeah.
I think it sort of represents Chicago very, very well. And what that means is we've got a lot of sort of different sounds, different sort of ages, different people, different backgrounds. Some people coming from a traditional rock background, some people coming from perhaps a more sort of gospel background, sort of putting them all together. So actually, that's one of the challenges that we're going to be facing in the rehearsals, is trying to find a common sound that doesn't sound homogenized, but it sounds like, you know, particularly the disciples and the followers. With other people, they kind of feel like they're from like one particular group or tribe or however you want to describe it, and we want to explore that through the sound that they're making. I suppose one of the benefits of having such a sort of varied musical backgrounds is that we're going to have all those different approaches and all those different sounds, and we can kind of make each individual moment perhaps have its own sort of musical identity.
Talk to me a little about your own background outside of being part of the Olivier Award-winning cast in London. What else have you done, and what has been part of your background?
So I grew up just outside London, and then I went to university in London, and I went on to do postgraduate at the Royal Academy of Music. And then from then, sort of did a few different things, like doing a lot of piano playing, continuing sort of conducting, and then that sort of took me into the theatre, also a lot in the studio, and then more recently, sort of do my own composing. So I wrote a sort of chamber opera recently for the Donmar Warehouse, which has the longest title I think you might hear on the radio station, which is "The Public Administration and Constitutional Affairs Committee Takes Oral Evidence on Whitehall's Relationship with Kids Company." And as you can imagine, you know, the merchandise, you know, just flew off the shelves.
That's right. People are coming just to see it on the marquee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I mean, I enjoy a real sort of diverse array of work, sort of spanning from maybe something sort of more operatic to maybe something more jazz, and then, you know, getting to compose, getting to work with other fantastic composers, getting to work with great artists, getting to work with, you know, great buildings like the Lyric, and obviously getting to meet you, Dean.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure. But I did want to ask you about that, of, you know, working in this magnificent arena of the Lyric Opera, the Civic Opera building here, is maybe one of the most magnificent theaters that we have in Chicago.
Well, I'm not surprised. It
has to add to the game a little bit, doesn't it? When you come in to do a show, I mean, when everyone will step on the stage, when you raise your baton to start, if indeed you are raising a baton. I would hope so.
Yeah.
It's part of what I come for.
Yes.
That it adds, this building, you know, adds to the feeling of it.
Oh, yes. I mean, the sort of the magnitude of the story is sort of matched by the magnitude of the building, and it's a huge auditorium, it's a huge stage. We've got a 37 piece orchestra, we've got, you know, almost 50 in the cast, you know, to tell this epic story in an epic musical way. And it's, you know, it's an incredible feeling walking in through the stage door of the Lyric opera building, you know, the sort of the history there, and, you know, Sir Andrew Davis, who is the music director, who obviously, you know, sort of studied and listened to his recordings and seen his concerts, etc., right. etc., as kind of, you know, growing up and obviously still now. So there's, it doesn't really feel like pressure. It feels like opportunity, which is going to be the exciting thing.
I have to think that it's just, you know, creatively, what a challenge to take this on. Jesus Christ Superstar, new production at the Lyric Opera House, April 27th through May 20th here in Chicago. You can get ticket information at lyricopera.org. Ticket information and all the information about the Lyric's upcoming season. Tom Deering, the conductor, can't wait to see it. I look forward to seeing you opening night.
Absolutely. See you then. Thanks, Dean.
Thanks so much. A quick break, and we'll update news next on WGN. Coming up, as I had mentioned, we're going to be replaying our conversation with Ted Neely, who played Jesus Christ Superstar in Jesus Christ Superstar, the original stage productions and also the motion picture production. He was here visiting us not long ago. Great guy, really nice guy. We've talked to him many times. We'll replay that for you. It seems appropriate for Easter Sunday morning. We've got Amy Schumer and A.D. Bryant still to come.
Loyola reached the end of the road in the Final Four yesterday, losing to Michigan 69-57. The loss took place on the floor, and there were some losses off the floor as well, as Kevin Powell explains from San Antonio.
Loyola's improbable run has come to an end.
It just hurts. It just hurts a lot knowing I'm not going to play with these guys again.
That's senior guard Ben Richardson. He walked off the court arm in arm with his best friend and teammate Clayton Custer. The two have played together since they were seven.
You know, just some personal stuff, just, you know, that we love each other, and, you know, we're never going to forget this, and everyone's going to remember this run that we had.
Richardson will graduate at the end of the year. Our updates on the Ramblers in San Antonio, sponsored by Subway Restaurants, home of the new signature wraps. Covering Loyola in San Antonio, Kevin Powell, WGN Sports.
Pretty good gig for him.
Yeah, not too bad. He gets to go to San Antonio, got a little nice weather, saw a couple of good basketball games.
Yep.
Actually, one good basketball game. The other one was a blowout yesterday, but yeah, not too bad. I'll sign up for that.
But you're here, though.
Good point.
You're here with us.
Good point. Good point.
Sorry.
I don't think there'd be any other place I'd rather be.
Wow. Did you hear that, Schwani?
I heard every word.
You just caught me on the spot here, I didn't really have a chance to think about some other places.
I just noticed that Andy's got another.
He has two signs.
I've got.
Andy's posting signs in his little cubicle area where he's working.
I've got the Dean Richards sign.
Right, because somebody stole my name sign that goes in the window earlier, which has been recovered. But now
the White Sox postponed.
Yeah, White Sox postponed today.
Yeah. They were going to play snow in Kansas City today. Yeah, there was expected to be some big snow there. And
is this an April Fool's Day joke they're trying to play on us?
If they are, it's very, very well orchestrated because everybody is buying in.
Maybe the guy that set the tires on fire on Mount Edgecombe is involved with this.
What are you talking about?
I was telling Schwani earlier today that my favorite April Fool's joke of all time, sports related.
Oh, this is great.
Was perpetrated by Sports Illustrated on April 1st, 1985. They actually got George Plimpton to write this article about a supposed Mets phenom, a pitcher that could throw 120 miles an hour. It was called The Curious Case of Sid Finch.
Wow.
But if you read the subtext of the headline, each of the first letters of those words spelled out Happy April Fool's Day.
Oh, clever.
So, yeah, that was a good one. Clever. I just tweeted that one, too, so if anybody wants to go check out that article from 85, you can follow me on Twitter.
After we get done with the news, I'll tell you about the April Fool's Day joke I played on the air one year that got me in so much trouble.
Oh, man. Can't wait to hear that. I'm going to speed through this.
You in trouble?
I know. Never. It's hard to believe. I would do something that
never
would cause me to get in trouble.
All right. Well,
back to you, Andy.
It's 720 WGN.
Easter Sunday. Going out to spend Easter with Dad today, Schwani?
Later in the day, we're getting together, but yesterday...
Oh, nice of you to squeeze him into your schedule.
Well, no, I was with him yesterday also because where he's living now at his retirement center, they had a very nice pre-Easter brunch.
Oh.
That was served. That was very, very nice to attend.
And so you glommed on that?
I did, and met some of his friends, and we had a nice time. And then we'll get together later today.
Oh, very nice. How about you, Andy? A nice Passover the last couple of days?
Yeah, I had a little Seder on Friday and did a little White Sox yesterday. But I've got my matzah here with me today.
Always delicious, the matzah.
Best stuff ever.
Is it regular? Just regular plain matzah?
Yeah,
or like
regular.
A flavored?
No, it's regular, plain, bland.
I like plain matzah.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of an acquired taste.
I enjoy it. It's also good if you're doing any drywall work.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, you can fry it up, and if it doesn't work, you can just put it on your wall.
Slap it up on the wall. It patches holes nicely.
Happy Noodaloo. You get that to Lou
Manfredini. That's right. Take that, Manfredini. Yeah. Yeah, we're recycling. Yeah, you know, I grew up in South Shore, which at the time was predominantly Jewish neighborhood. So I went to many a Seder and enjoyed many of the traditions and got to enjoy, you know, many of the foods as well, which...
That's pretty cool. It's a nice little service. Yeah. It's called Seder, which means order in Hebrew. So there is actual order to the service and the dinner.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It is. I like that... That Easter and Passover are, you know, are pretty much the same time this year, mm-hmm. Same weekend. The Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox Easter for my Greek peeps and beyond, other nationalities are also Eastern Orthodox. It's Palm Sunday today, and so that will be the Greek Easter, Eastern Orthodox Easter will be next Sunday. And the reason for that, I like to bring a little culture to the program every week, Shwani. As you know, the reason why we have our Easter a week after, as you know, it's so we get the Easter candy at
the
half,
Easter
half
candy
price.
At half price. Yeah, yeah, that's the whole reason why. Sure.
I do that mostly just to annoy my mom. Every year. Why do you tell that joke every year? It's not funny. It is funny to me. So anyway, did anybody watch the Ten Commandments last night?
No.
I was out last night.
We were watching basketball.
Well, I was on after the basketball game. The basketball game ended early, Shwani. But I went out for dinner last night. Yesterday was my birthday, by the way.
It was. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you.
And I have a present for you.
Yeah, you keep saying that, but I don't see anything.
Well, no, you'll hear it. Would you like to hear it right now?
Sure.
We baked you a birthday cake. If you get a tummy ache and you moan and groan and woe, don't forget we told you so.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday! Happy birthday! Three Stooges. Three Stooges birthday song. Somebody texted earlier and asked, did I host a Three Stooges marathon?
Yes, you did.
At the old Granada Theater.
Yes, you did, and I was there.
You were there?
I was. You better believe it.
I didn't know you were there.
I was there.
How did I not know that all
that
these years?
That was when you and I were working for another radio station.
Yes, we were.
And I called my buddy, and I said, guess what? You've got to come into the city for this.
Yeah, it was cool.
Oh, it was great.
Remind me, the Granada Theater was up on Sheridan Road, right?
Yes, yes.
Kind of like
and
right
really
in
around Loyola.
Ground zero for Loyola, yeah. Right there, yeah. It was like Devon and Sheridan? A little bit north of Devon, I think, is where that was.
Right before the curve there at the Loyola.
Yeah, but anyway, yes, somebody texted and asked, did I do that? And the answer is yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
That was a long time ago.
That was 1981, man.
Wow. Okay. So anyway, back to I went out for a nice birthday dinner last night. Have you been over to the Chicago Cut Steakhouse?
Oh, love that place.
That's such a great steakhouse. A delicious, delicious dinner. And I got back home in time to see the very ending of...
Ten Commandments?
Of the Ten Commandments. And just as God was inscribing the actual Ten Commandments on the tablets, that only... just reminds me now of the Mel Brooks movie, History of the World.
Oh, yeah.
Part one.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Where Mel Brooks comes down dressed as Moses, comes down from the mountain with three tablets.
He's 15.
I bring to you these 15. Crash. He drops one of them.
Make that 10.
No, first he goes, oi. Sort of under his breath, he goes, oi.
Oi.
I bring you these 15, oi, 10 commandments. But I caught the end of it. I got a little Edward G. Robinson, which I love, in 10 commandments.
Yeah, he's in that.
Yeah, who's going to be your leader now? Yeah. Some of the greatest villains of all time.
We're breaking out tonight.
Yvonne DiCarlo. I'm watching this in a biblical story, and there's Lily Munster from the Munsters who's in it. I love that movie, which just, you know, made me start thinking and about, you know, we've been talking about Jesus Christ Superstar this morning too. Made me start thinking of other you know, biblical or religious themed movies, and which ones are your favorites? I've got lots of them. I like those movies quite a bit, and I love the Cecil B. DeMille vision of this story at the time, the greatest special effects ever. When you look at the Red Sea being parted now in that movie, it's so hokey looking, but still just kind of great because it's tradition. But let me just open up the phone lines for your favorite religious movies of all time on this Easter Sunday. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. 312-981-7200 WGN.
Oh, hear me. All pay heed. The Lord Jehovah has given unto you these 15. Oi. 10 commandments for all to obey.
Mel Brooks from the History of the World Part 1. Really funny movie. I've been watching clips of it, biblical and non-biblical, but just really, really funny. A lot of texters chiming in with the question of your favorite religious movie of all time. 773 area code says, hands down, DeMille's remake of the Ten Commandments, best ever done. I think it's pretty great, that's for sure. Here is another five best Christian-themed productions. King of Kings, Jesus Christ Superstar, Godspell. Forgot about Godspell. I loved that one, too. The Temptation of Christ and the Greatest Story Ever Told. I'm going to throw into the mix as well, and I know this is controversial for a lot of people, but I loved Passion of the Christ. I know it was so graphic and so hard to watch, but, you know, I just think amazingly made. You know, Mel Gibson, you know, and heaven knows I've had my skirmishes with him, but that's a talented man. He's a talented actor and a very talented director, and I think he did justice to telling a very realistic story in The Passion of the Christ. How about you, Mary, favorite religious film? Welcome. Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter. I think one of my favorites is The Case for Christ. It's the experience of tribute writer Lee Strobel.
About, like, what, when did that come out? Do you remember, approximately?
It's been a year or two.
Year or two. Okay, so more, you know what? I do remember that now that you're saying that. I do remember when that came out.
Yeah, it was really good. It's about his experience. He was an atheist, and he did a lot. And his wife became a Christian, and it was about his investigation. And yeah, he did a pretty thorough investigation.
Yeah, kind of a modern take, a modern way of delving into some religious issues. There, are you a fan of some of the faith-based movies that have been coming out lately? Because especially this year, we've had quite a few this year. There have been three just in the past month, faith-based movies, yeah, that have come out this year.
Oh, I'm a big fan of them. I just saw...
If Only You Imagine?
Yes, that one.
That's one of them, about the making of the Christian rock song with Dennis Quaid. Is that the one with Dennis Quaid? Yeah.
Yes, Dennis Quaid played the father, and before the credits were done, I wanted to see it again.
Yeah, Dennis Quaid. What else? Paul, Apostle of Christ, came out a week ago. Speaking of Passion of the Christ, co-starring Jim Caviezel in that movie as Luke. Then this past Friday, we had God's Not Dead, which is the third in this trilogy of God's Not Dead movies that have come out. So there's, in a contemporary sense, there are lots of films that have come out.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to seeing them all.
Good deal. I'm glad you called up today. Have a great holiday today.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you very much. Hello, Matt. You're on WGN.
Hello, Dean and Schwani. I love you guys.
Schwani's taking his coffee break right now.
How dare he?
If Schwani works more than 7 minutes, he's required by WGN law. He's got to take a 7 minute coffee break.
In fact, even mentioning him extends that time.
It's exhausting. It's exhausting for him just to hear his name. I know it is for me.
Are you talking about me again?
Oh, yeah. Now you're back at your assigned post.
I was at my other assigned post.
Having coffee cake.
Well, you didn't have to mention that.
Are you really having coffee cake?
We've got coffee cake. We have hot cross buns up here.
That sounds like a personal problem.
And all on Passover. Thanks, Schwani.
That's right. That's right. Would it kill you to have one macaroon up there right now? So,
those
Matt,
are on the way.
Matt, thank you for calling. What's your favorite?
Oh, I love you and Schwani. Anyway, my favorite religious movie, actually it's the only one I can sit through, is Fireproof. Kirk Cameron.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's 2008. I think it's just a very sweet story. I'm not really religious. I'm Jewish by trade. I went to Sunday school, but I don't keep observance of pretty much anything except for Passover because the family insists on it.
Right.
But I think it's just a very cute little love story, and there's some funny parts in there, and it's just a great, great movie.
Yeah.
I also have to say that I loved the 15 minutes 2 weeks ago that you and Schwani spent saying WGN. That was one of my favorite segments. I love you guys. You guys are fantastic.
You're very nice. And obviously a heavy drinker. what do you think of Monty Python's Life of Brian? Somebody in the 847 area code says Life of Brian. I think that's a great choice also.
Somebody's going to yell at me for this if they hear this. I'm an actor. I don't like Monty Python.
Really?
I think Mel Brooks is hysterical. I love that. I think it's just when I first started watching Monty Python, when my dad started showing it to me, I was too young and I didn't know what was going on. And
right.
It just kind of turned me off to the whole thing. But I thought anything with Mel Brooks was hysterical.
Oh, I was crying. I was watching some scenes from History of the World. I was crying laughing. That's how much I love Mel Brooks. But I appreciate that. Listen, I am a fan of Monty Python. I know they are not for everybody, but I think Life of Brian is kind of brilliant. I appreciate the call today and enjoy your weekend. Thank you, Matt. Hi, Susan in Romeoville. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. So my favorite movie is Godspell.
Godspell.
Yep, I'll keep it with the musical theme, but I love Godspell. I know all the words to all the songs, and it ends in a positive way too. Long live God.
Yeah, what are some of your favorite songs from Godspell?
Now Day by Day, of course. That's one of the main ones. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, bless the Lord my soul, and then at the end, long live God.
Day by day, oh dear Lord, three things I pray.
I remember when this came out. 1973.
Sometime in the 70s, because that's when
I don't know if you're. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to ask your age, but if you are roughly my age, Susan,
yep.
You probably remember how this was so revolutionary to have songs and messages like this that spoke directly to young people, right?
Right. Very little scenery, very little in the productions, very little stage scenery.
Right.
It was just a group of people doing their thing and singing songs and getting the message.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you called up today, and I hope you have a wonderful Easter, all right?
You too.
Thank you so much for the call. Take a quick break. We'll update news next. All right, let's get a quick update of the news, and then, Shwani, we're going to be joined by a guest that may anger some people. Kathy Griffin is going to join us after the news. And I know that she's a very controversial figure. I know people have different opinions of her. She's going to be – she just sold out Carnegie Hall. She's selling out arenas all over the country and is coming to the Chicago Theater. She's from Oak Park. We've had her on the show many, many, many times. And we're going to have a nice conversation with her coming up after the news.
This report sponsored by Sprint. Right now at Sprint, lease the new Samsung Galaxy S9 or S9 Plus and get Galaxy forever only from Sprint.
I love when you're technical like that.
Upgrade.
I love when you throw those serial numbers at me.
Upgrade to the newest Galaxy every year. It is like pre-ordering for the future.
Yes, it is.
You can get Chicago news first at the top of every hour.
Trying to quit teasing me like that.
I'm Dave Schwann, speaking to you from the 7th floor of Tribune Tower in front of an Electro-Voice RE20. Microphone, which is standard practice in the newsroom, which is connected to a three-prong XLR cable connection.
You realize I can turn your microphone off anytime, yeah. Right? Okay. Just check.
On 720 WG.
Sorry, somebody had to do it. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning at WGN Chicago. I have enjoyed our next guest for such a long time, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. I've enjoyed her stand-up concerts here in Chicago forever. I've enjoyed her television appearances, my life on the D-List, and so many other shows through the years for a decade. She was part of the New Year's Eve celebration on CNN, and to me, just really made the show. Apparently has bronchitis or something this morning. Kathy Griffin is on the phone line.
What the heck was that?
Kathy, do we need to get you some oxygen or something?
Oh, okay, that is like the story of my life in Hollywood. Someone in Chicago coughs and I get blamed.
Okay,
man. You're talking to Kathy Griffin, Chicagoan and comedy fugitive.
And comedy fugitive.
I'm in a little trouble, Dean.
Yeah, a little incident happened last year where you were photographed with what looked like the severed head of the president. And suddenly you became, a pariah everywhere.
Oh, pariah everywhere.
Yeah.
And also, to have the, it's actually historic for the first, for just a humble girl from Forest Park. I went to St. Bernardine.
I did know that. Yes, indeed.
May rest in peace.
Local girl, yeah.
Although I do miss the Farrar Pan Candy Factory. It's across the street.
I'm going to send you some lemon heads.
Oh, my gosh. It's, you know what? Lemon heads are, it's a candy you take in stages. You know what I mean? First, it's kind of tangy. I have no written contract with them. I'm just
right.
Going off the cuff.
Now that I think of it, maybe I should send you a candy that does not contain the word head in it. That may be...
Tell you one of the things, and by the way, I am so thrilled to be returning to the iconic Chicago Theater on Thursday, June 28th. Tickets are truly going fast. I know people make fun of me when I say that, and then they go online and they go, dang, this is the same woman who sold out Carnegie Hall in one day a couple
right.
of weeks ago.
That's right. That's
so
right.
I am back, and I'm telling tales out of school. And I love doing stand up. It's my favorite thing. I love playing the Chicago Theater. Who wouldn't? But now have I got a heck of a story? I've been singled out. This is historic. Never in the history of the United States has a sitting United States president used the power of his Twitter feed, his family. Well. A couple of them might be on the rocks, frankly. But Fox News, Breitbart, the alt-right machine, TMZ was recording my concert cancellations in real time. And then, of course, the Department of Justice calls 2 days later, and I'm under a two-month federal investigation for, wait for it, conspiracy to assassinate the President of the United States. Hey. Take
ending.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, when it happened, I mean, frankly, a lot of people were pretty shocked. I mean, we expect Kathy Griffin to push the envelope.
That's my brand. And can I tell you?
But I think that this picture even shocked most people.
I've known this moron Trump off and on for 20 years. He's actually hired me twice to roast him.
Really?
It's not like he doesn't know what I do.
Yeah.
And by the way, of course, the last time I saw him, which is a few years ago, but, you know, he, like any bully, I was about to go on and host this show, and I was going to roast him, and he's like, you're not going to be too tough on me, are you? I mean, we're cool, right? And I was like, calm down, girl. I didn't know he'd become the accidental president, Dean.
I
thought he was just the guy that I would run into at, like, NBC Universal events when I was promoting my Life on the D-List or my talk show or one of my specials.
Right, you work for the same company.
The Apprentice with his orange, inconsistent shade of body makeup.
You worked for the same company, but what I'm really interested in.
I'm all the players, and what's great is I've had like Trump stories basically in my hip pocket for years, but frankly, no one really cared. You know, I'd play the Chicago theater, and people want to hear about the housewives and my mom.
Right
now, you know, this guy that I actually thought was like a reject from Million Dollar Listing is the accidental president. So I've got stories about Trump. By the way, I've also got many, many other stories. I, you know, have a great story about when I was in Australia because, you know, as you know, I was not able to make a living in my own country.
Yeah, when places started canceling your appearances all over the place. Yeah,
I have my first paid TV gig in a year. So I'm going to be on the President Show on Comedy Central, and I get to play Kellyanne Conway.
I sort of can't wait to see that, to see what you're going to do with that.
Well, I'm obsessed with her. I have many faces. You know, I'm very open about that, Dean. But she has many faces as well. And so I am very excited to get in the wig and the costume. And Tony, the guy who plays Donald Trump on that show, is so funny.
He's hilarious.
So I'm like just thrilled to be back out there, and then doing the tour is the ultimate. And you know, I called it the laugh. I'm calling it the Laugh Your Head Off tour. So I am obviously leaning into the photo, going to address it. I tell the whole story on stage about the investigation and all the craziness around it. But the thing I just have to say is, I kind of have to laugh through all the insanity, because when people say that I was holding up Donald Trump's severed head, first of all, I like to say to them, don't you think you would have heard about that? Like Donald Trump, I know we think he's lost his mind, but if he actually lost his head, I think you would have heard about it sooner than my picture. It was a Halloween mask, and then sometimes people thought that I had like someone else's severed head. To which I say, oh yes, I went to the severed head store.
Yeah,
and you know we have a lot of those here, and I just got one. And
well, I followed this pretty well, and What I found really kind of moving a little bit. I mean, you got a lot of criticism, obviously. You lost a lot of gigs, obviously. But what really touched me is what I read in an interview. You said that Rosie O'Donnell had said to you that kind of put this all into a different perspective about the idea of doing satire with a severed head. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. What happened was, when I took the photo, you know, I've taken sort of provocative photos before. It's not exactly my day job. My day job is exactly what I'm going to do at the Chicago Theater, standing on stage and trying to make people laugh and telling stories. And, you know, it's all real. Nothing's made up. And it's very improvisational. So every so often, you know, I do a photo shoot. Like, not often. But, you know, one thing that was nice about when I was on Bill Maher is Bill said, yeah, when you're a comic, it happens every time. They take a bunch of pictures, and then usually at the end of the shoot, there's always somebody who's like, I've got an idea. And so, yeah, I wanted it to be a provocative photo. But, you know, the idea that it would, you know, I mean, as the Trumps say, they don't just want to end my career. They want to decimate me. And so they used the initial outrage of that photo. And obviously, you know, when the photo went live on TMZ, of all places, I really wish the photographer had not given it to TMZ. I'll be honest about that. But, yeah, Rosie O'Donnell called me, and she said, there's an outrage about your picture. And I'm not kidding. I didn't believe her. I was like, no, Rosie, calm down. I've done this sort of thing a million times. It'll blow over. What's the worst that could happen? It's not like the White House is going to notice. And so then she said,
And, you know, I've performed in Iraq and Afghanistan in war zones.
Yep.
I mean, I even performed in Kuwait and Uzbekistan. So top that, Trump. I mean, Trump hasn't even visited those places.
Yeah.
But anyway, when she said the famous words, "What if Daniel Pearl's mother sees this?" then I apologized because, of course, I understand that. What I found out later, and the reason I absolutely take the apology back, was that was a narrow apology. Like, yeah, that was that's an apology for anyone if you have truly, personally, somehow had to bear witness. And I don't mean going on YouTube and being like a weirdo that looks up, like, freaking ISIS videos. But, I mean, if you're someone who's been touched by that, of course, having traveled there and stuff, I understand. Then I realized the apology kind of made things worse. So the funny thing is all my comedian friends called me that day, and they're like, "Why'd you apologize?" And all my civilian friends called me going, "You better apologize." But then when I realized that the White House was using this as a coordinated attack, I realized, oh, I'm like part of their go-to. Like, it's Colin Kaepernick, or it's me. Like, you know, Sean Hannity wrote like a blog about me 2 days ago. Like, they just like to keep bringing it up whenever things are looking bad for Trump.
It's so interesting, and really kind of became a little even more clear to me this week with the success of Roseanne Barr's show this week. That do you remember the time when Roseanne Barr was criticized by the president, by President Bush at that time, when she was the one that was getting the kind of wrath that you're getting now for, you know, what a lot of people thought was a very disrespectful version of the national anthem?
Right. Well, first of all, you know, where's my ABC multi-million dollar series?
You'll have to wait 30 years like Roseanne did, but
conspiracy theories, not unlike the Pizzagate. You know, and then ABC, of all places, Disney, is like, here's a giant show with the most amazing actors surrounding you in the world. And then she goes on Twitter the next day calling one of the Parkland kids a Nazi.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a little confused about which way is up anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just the kind of the way that situation went. But what I realized was a lot of the outrage about my photo, and it still continues. Like, I'm on a kill list. You know, a federal agency just called me, and I still get all kinds of crazy things that people send to my house. But what I love about doing this live show is I really think I went overseas first. I couldn't get, well, I was going to say I couldn't get arrested here, but I could get indicted. All right, you got to laugh. But I was able to try all this material, and I went to 15 countries in 23 cities.
Yeah.
And, you know, overseas people were really amazed at the reaction to the photo. And now I'm so relieved to see, honestly, like a very large part of America, or most of America, is finally coming around going, all right, in light of all these other things that are happening, Nazis marching in Charlottesville, maybe Kathy Griffin's photo wasn't like all that serious. But, you know, believe it or not, I kind of have to, even though that photo caused me a lot of trouble and still does, I kind of have to defend it.
Yeah.
Because it is, as you know, completely covered by the First Amendment.
Well, I know you're going to be talking a lot more about it at your show at the Chicago Theater on June 28th. I want to know how your mom is doing.
My mom is drunk, Dean.
Your mom is drunk. Okay.
Okay. Let's use the word tipsy. one of the things that I have to try to laugh at everything, is the day the photo came out, my mother, who has hearing aids but doesn't like to put them on because she's vain, she watches Fox News with the sound off. So the day of the photo, I had to convince my mother for 2 hours that I had not joined ISIS. And she goes, of all the clubs you could have joined, Kathleen, why the hell did you join ISIS or Al-Qaeda or whatever it is? What about stamp collecting, for God's sake? I go, Mom, I don't think ISIS is recruiting 57-year-old Irish-American comedians.
Yeah.
You know,
Mom's still enjoying the box of wine on occasion?
Hold on, Dean. I'm giving you breaking news, and I expect you to spread this globally. My mom came over yesterday, and she made a confession, although I don't know if I believe her. But I quizzed her, and I said, Mom, you know, she's going to be 98 on June 10th.
Holy smokes. Wow.
Chicago. She's a presentation girl.
Yeah.
The prettiest girl in presentation. All right, so I said, Mom, just, you know, before you croak, what is the most you would ever spend on a bottle of wine? And do you know what she had the nerve to say?
What's that?
She had the nerve to say $28.
Wow. Now, Dean,
as sure as you and I are talking right now, you know that Maggie's limit is $2. And it's $2 Chuck. And then I have to sneak in the third dollar because $2 Chuck is now $3.
Right, exactly. So, and tax and everything, right, yeah.
Every suspect that even at 98, she's got the gumption or the moxie, as my people would say, to look me right in the eye and lie and say $28, please.
I love it. I love it.
I love her. She's an American treasure.
I cannot wait to see you at the Chicago Theater. I know a lot of people won't, and that's fine. That's your prerogative. People on our text line, pretty evenly split on happy to hear Kathy Griffin on the air. Happy, you know, to hear that, you know, things are looking up for you. Here's one. I think you'll enjoy this, saying, Dean, you will burn in hell forever for having Kathy Griffin on your show today.
Oh, yes. I got a lot of those.
Yeah.
The Jesus people came after me, the left, the right, the bots, like all the, you know, the Russian troll bot farms and stuff. So I will warn any of my fans, and that's right, you heard me say my fans, like I'm a contestant on American Idol or something. if you want to post anything positive about me, I will warn you, you're going to have like 10 robots attack you at once. And then when you look up their profiles, you'll see that they just signed up for Twitter 10 minutes ago and they have 2 followers. But it happens. I'm educating myself on all of this, Dean.
Tickets are available through Ticketmaster. Kathy is at the Chicago Theater, coming home to her hometown June the 28th. Kathy, thank you for taking some time, and we'll look forward to seeing you when you're here, I hope.
Well, Dean, your show is fantastic. I'm a longtime fan, and thank you so, so much. So I'll see you guys at the Chicago Theater.
Kathy, I'll see you when we're both burning in hell, apparently.
Well, and we're going to be with Ron Reagan Jr., because he does those atheist commercials. Ron Reagan Jr., not afraid to burn in hell.
It's 11:57.
I also ask people to sign up for my email list, because I can tell when you're like half the people like you and half don't. So that's what I'm saying, is I got to find the people who like me. So I have an email list. You can text Kathy 345-345, and you'll get the up-to-the-date news.
Very good.
Martin, you are a doll. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Kathy. We'll talk to you soon. Coming up in a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking with Kevin Powell. Is he still in San Antonio, or no, he's arrived back home from San Antonio. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's back in Chicago.
Okay, so he's back, but he's been covering the Loyola Ramblers while they were on their run. We'll talk with him coming up in a bit. We've got Amy Schumer and A.D. Bryant from Saturday Night Live is still to come for you today.
Well, there'll be no baseball today in Kansas City. The White Sox game with the Royals has been postponed. Snow and cold conditions expected in Kansas City today. They're going to make it up as a day-night doubleheader on April 28th, game one at 1:15, game two at 7:15.
A texter says that they should just play in the cold weather and the snow.
Yeah.
For the amount of money that they make. Get out there, man up.
Yeah, it'd be a little dangerous. I mean, football, yeah, I can see you do that. Soccer, you could do that. But
come
baseball,
on.
You can't do it.
Come on.
You can't see if the ball's fair or foul.
Come on, Sister Jean's already out there. She's ready to play.
All right, I'm going to text the GM of the White Sox here in just a second and tell them that
this
these
is a
guys...
texter. This is a texter saying this.
Okay, you'll give me his or her phone number, and I'll pass that along.
Yes, come on.
I get what they're saying. Baseball is a little different than the rest of them, though. You can't really play it outside like that. Can't play it in the bad conditions.
Oh, I'm going to get cold.
Yeah, this is more of a major.
They've already got a glove on one hand.
That's a good point. This is more of a Major League Baseball issue to me, just because it's difficult every year with scheduling to not have these rainouts and snowouts.
This time of year, what do you expect?
Exactly.
Of course.
And you can't really give an unfair advantage to West Coast teams and those with domes to open up at home for the first 2 weeks of the season.
Right.
So it's you got to pick and choose.
Ooh, I'm going to be cold in the snow.
Well, you know what? They're going to go to a dome stadium tomorrow, so there's going to be no issues whatsoever.
Ooh, cancel the game. My toes are cold.
It's when the old baseball tradition of the hot foot comes into play.
That's right. Babe Ruth would have played in weather like this.
Yes, he would have.
He wouldn't have felt a thing, but for an entirely different reason.
No, he wouldn't have. Pre-game rituals, if you know what I mean.
Okay, let's call it that.
Yeah, pre-game ritual.
All right. Interesting interview with Kathy Griffin. I knew some of you would be furious about that.
Have you been getting a lot of reaction, shall we say?
You know what? The reaction, honestly, I thought would be overwhelmingly angry that I had her on the air, and some people were, but it's actually kind of half and half of people who enjoyed hearing her on the air and enjoyed hearing this other side of it. Would you like to hear some of the comments?
Why not?
If they are readable.
Can you take it?
If they are readable.
No, they're definitely readable. Here's one that says, Dean, interested to know if you would be as gracious and understanding toward Kathy Griffin's photo holding the president's head if it had been President Obama's head. Look, I said from the very beginning with this whole thing, I thought it was distasteful and disrespectful. You know, I think it was a bad move. I think it was a bad decision on her part. And, you know, I'm not going to castigate somebody for life because they made a mistake. I think even in her heart of hearts, I mean, she's playing it up for laughs now and for comedy, trying to regain her life again because she literally almost lost everything. I'm not going to hold it against a person for her life. She apologized. She admitted that, you know, that it was a bad mistake. And as far as holding a decapitated head of anyone, whether it's either of the two presidents or you or me or anybody else, I think it's wrong and disgusting to depict that. I don't like that, but I'm not going to hold it against her. Very much like the situation, as I mentioned during the interview with Roseanne Barr, when she intentionally butchered the national anthem. President Bush at the time criticized her. Everybody was criticizing Roseanne Barr for her utter, complete disrespect of America and what she did to the national anthem. And now she's President Trump's favorite person. You know, they're calling each other and, you know, so, you know, the things that people do, comedians especially, whose jobs it is to push the envelope a little bit. Sometimes they make a misstep. And, you know, hopefully you're open-minded enough to forgive them at some point. Here's the 224 area code. I'm happy you guys had Kathy Griffin on the show today. Here's another that said, Dean, thank you for having Kathy on Easter. Best WGN show we've listened to in a while, driving to Grandma's house. Here's another one that said, what would have happened if there had been a picture of a severed head of Obama? Heads would have literally rolled. I'm not sure if you intended that to be a joke like that. But, yeah, no one's defending the picture of the severed head, including Kathy. I think Kathy even admits that she took it a step too far with that. But I think you might also, as long as you're asking a question, you know, what if it had been Obama? What if it had been Obama being accused of a lot of the things that President Trump has been accused of, and there is now documentation for? How would some of the current president's supporters feel if, you know, it had gone the other way? Here's another one that says, I thought I wanted to see Kathy, but so much complaining. Thanks for the preview. Save me money. That's, you know, great. If you don't like her, don't want to see her, don't like what she's saying, don't go see her. Here is another saying, Dean, thanks for having Kathy on. She got a bum rap. Who's more disgusting, Griffin or Trump? So, you know, those are the reactions to that. So I think pretty even, right?
It does sound down the middle, yes. Yeah.
We just put the stuff out there. You know, nobody's saying you have to agree or disagree or, you know, whatever. We're just putting stuff out there. I happen to think she's very funny. I've always been a big fan of hers. I think I like her style of comedy. If you don't like it, you're mad at her because of the picture, don't go see her show. It's as simple as that.
We did get a couple of phone calls. Now, this is my first time producing, Dean, so I'm not sure.
It's been a delightful experience.
Yeah, it's been great so far.
For you, has it been?
Oh, absolutely, it has.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
This is Joe Romano.
So the upset callers didn't necessarily say that it was Kathy Griffin, so they might just be upset with WGN for having, you know, you on the air.
Well, that's that I understand. That I've been complaining about that for years myself.
So that's just more investigating that I'm going to have to do for you, Dean.
Honestly, I write most of the hate mail about this show myself and send it to management of WGN. So that part I get. It's 12:16. I want to introduce a pal who stopped by this morning. You've heard Graham Ambrose here on the show before. He is one of my junior movie critics who sends me reviews all the time. Graham, how old are you now? Because I think officially I haven't actually seen you in maybe 6-8 months, something. Maybe less than that, I guess. Maybe it was right around the holidays, something. Anyway, you have grown like a foot. I think you're officially taller than me, which is, I may have to drop you as one of my junior movie critics now if you're going to be taller than me.
Well, I mean, maybe not use the term junior anymore. Actually, you still can.
But
how old are you now?
I'm, believe it or not, I'm still 14, but two weeks left till my birthday.
You're going to be 15 in 2 weeks?
Yep.
All right. Well, almost happy birthday.
Thank you.
And very nice, because Graham saw that it was my birthday yesterday and sent me very nice emails, which would have been more than sufficient, that you were just thinking about me on my birthday. But stopped by with his dad this morning and brought me a nice birthday present also, which was completely unnecessary, but very nice of you. I appreciate that.
Hey, it's my pleasure. I mean, you helped me realize my dream and made the summer of 2017 and beyond that, because, you know, that wasn't the last time I was on the air. The first time in the summer of 2017. Because I popped up once again in November to talk about, what was it? Oh, yeah, Thor Ragnarok.
You go see quite a few movies. You love movies,
mm-hmm.
and you write reviews, write full reviews,
mm-hmm.
and he emails them to me, and this is like kind of a brilliant kid writer right here. His style of writing is clever, his logic, forming his opinions as a critic for critical analysis, I think is super solid. I think you do a great job. What was the phrase? I sent you a note yesterday. You sent me a review of which movie?
And Isle of Dogs.
Isle of Dogs. And you used a little phrase in it that I thought was absolutely brilliant.
March movie madness.
March, because he's seen three movies in the month of March that he's loved after a couple of dogs, right?
Stinkers.
Stinkers, yeah. So which three was it that you loved?
Ready Player One, Love, Simon, which in particular I'd say is my favorite, and Isle of Dogs.
Why did you like Ready Player One?
Well, for starters, even if I'm not someone who grew up during the time of, say, Gundam, Iron Giants, Battletoads, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, all the stuff that's referenced here, I loved how well they were integrated in the movie. And there's a scene with Stanley Kubrick's The Shining that I really won't give away, but let's just say it's brilliant. And Spielberg knew Kubrick personally, and I think that probably played a part.
Yeah, there's all kinds of references in the movie to other cultural references that happened mostly during the 80s that are sprinkled throughout the movie, and this story of the search of these keys in the biggest virtual reality game ever. By the way, Ready Player One, the number one movie of the weekend, by the way, taking in $53 million. First number one movie debut for Steven Spielberg in 10 years.
And the previous?
I'd have to go back to get the full story on that. But he has had kind of, you know, a sketchy... sketchy the last 10 years with some of his movies, critically acclaimed, but not necessarily box office hits. This one, very definitely a box office hit. You loved, as I did, Love, Simon also, right?
Yeah. And I could go on and on about just how much it treats the subject matter of sexuality with respect, but it does another thing I love that modern Hollywood sometimes falls flat on its face. It doesn't make stereotype kids. It doesn't make the nerdy kid, the jock, the spoiled valley girl who's glued to her phone screen all the time. It just makes kids. And I would know that better.
Yeah, probably better than old Uncle Dean here, I would guess. But I'm finding really interesting reaction from people your age to this movie, because this is the world in which they live. With peer pressure and bullying and good kids and not so good kids, and people struggling to determine who they are, who they really are. This is this is what the teenage years are about, and this movie does it with such beauty and love and respect and dignity. I also loved it. And what was your other one? Isle of Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Isle of Dogs, the Wes Anderson stop action animated film that came out this week that I also loved.
Yeah, since. I was especially gravitated towards this one since it's using a unique, somewhat dying out style of animation that I haven't seen in a while. I mean, sure, CGI animation is pretty popular nowadays, and with movies like, say, Coco, for good reason. But stop motion animation has been there since, I'd say, a while. I don't know how long. Maybe it got its foothold with Nightmare Before Christmas, but I could be wrong. I'm, again, just a junior. I'm not as knowledgeable as, well, old Uncle Dean over here, but I...
Old Uncle Dean. I don't know if y'all caught that, old Uncle Dean. That's okay. I am. I love Wes Anderson movies. I love that stop action animated. It's raw and it's visceral, and it's part of what I love about that style. So yeah, there are some you know, pretty good movies to check out right now. And Graham writes about them all the time, and I you know, I just encourage you to continue. I think you're a gifted writer, and I want to see you continue in that.
Well, you helped me realize my dream, and if that's your request, I would love nothing more than to grant it.
All right. Sounds like a deal to me then. Thank you for coming by and for the lovely birthday card. Wait a second. I want everyone to hear the birthday card. Let's see. Star Wars birthday card for Uncle Dean. Some kids never grow up. I love it. Thank you guys very much for coming in, and happy Easter to you both.
Yeah.
Quick break. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, but I know how much you love Star Wars, so Dad and I thought it'd be perfect.
When you wave the card, it makes the lightsaber noise. I am going to annoy my family so much today with this.
Tell your family I said hi and sorry.
So, Kevin Powell joining us to talk Loyola next tomorrow on the WGN-TV Morning News. I'm talking with John Krasinski. Jim from The Office, who directs one of the best movies of the year so far, The Quiet Moment. It's co-starring his wife, Emily Blunt. We'll talk to both of them this week on the WGN-TV Morning News, weekdays 4 until 10. What a pleasure to welcome back to the Sunday Morning Show the actual former producer of this show, who has now moved on to fame and fortune, not only on the Rokan show, but is the number one favorite person on all of the dating apps. I hear it on all the commercials now that you put yourself out there for everybody on any dating thing now. Kevin Powell, who had to break away from that for a few days to cover the Loyola Ramblers. Kev, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Dean. I appreciate it. Oh. Yes, I'll put my face on any dating app.
Yes, apparently. And also, now we have to add to his resume, best friend of Sister Jean.
Yeah. She was the rock star of the tournament, really, and of the Final Four. And, you know, I was like, you know what? She and I had a little conversation. I'm like, let's take a selfie. We took a selfie, and she was laughing, and she was, could have been nicer. So just an incredible run by Loyola. Obviously didn't end the way everybody had hoped, but Final Four for the Ramblers, that's impressive. Nobody saw this coming this year.
Absolutely. What were some of your biggest impressions in covering this team? And, I mean, not only the athleticism, not only the basketball, but, yeah. I mean, to me, just such an uplifting, positive experience watching these young men and the coaches, and, you know, the whole experience just made me feel great. You were right there with them, so I'm wondering how you felt about all that.
Yeah, well, going on this trip was the first time I had kind of been around them and up close and talking with them, and I had heard and read about how close-knit of a group they are and how good of a bunch of guys they are. They're just genuine good guys. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's great. And then as I had a chance to talk to them and be around them, I couldn't agree more. Just really good guys. It's like a brotherhood with all of them. Probably what will stick with me most is it was standing off the court as the final buzzer sounded, and Ben Richardson and Clayton Custer, two guys that have played basketball together since they were 7 or 8 years old.
Wow.
They grew up in Kansas together. They won state championships in high school. Then they led Loyola to a Final Four, and Ben Richardson is graduating, so it's likely the last time those two will play together ever after basically playing their entire life together side by side. And Richardson was in tears, and Custer had his arm around him as they walked off the court and into the locker room.
Yeah, I saw that too. It was... you know, for all of the good feelings that we had, you know, we didn't get the result that we wanted, but seeing these two friends since third grade You know, going off literally arm in arm like that and supporting each other like that was really beautiful. So we look ahead now to the future. How much of this team will still be there for next year? Does this speak well for Loyola maybe getting this far in next year's NCAA competition?
Well, Clayton Custer, who's sort of the leader of the team, he's the point guard. He's got one more year of eligibility, so he'll be back. And he even said, he said, the expectations are raised now at Loyola, and then they completely anticipate and expect to be right back in the thick of things in the tournament. He'll be back. Cam Krutwig, who was a freshman, he was the big man, the 6'9 center that they go to. So those are two key players that'll be back for next year. The key guys they're going to be losing to graduation, Dante Ingram, he was the one who hit that buzzer beater in the first game against Miami. And then Ben Richardson, who we just talked about, he's the one who's close friends with Custer. So you lose a couple of those guys, but for the most part, you've got about 60% of the roster and most of the key players coming back. So, yeah, I think absolutely it's realistic to think they'll be back in the tournament and hopefully can make some noise again.
All right. Well, you did a fantastic job in hearing your reports throughout the week. Job well done. Get some rest.
Thank you, Dean.
You know, those the dating apps are not going to work themselves. You got to get back on there and get things going. You've been out of town for a while.
That's right. We'll kick things back in the year tomorrow morning. And is today your birthday or was it yesterday?
It was
happy birthday or happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, it was yesterday. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You got it.
And it's nice to talk to you. I haven't seen you in a long time, so it's good to hear your voice. And we'll hear you on the Rokon Show.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me, DNA. I hope to see you soon.
Always a pleasure. There's Kevin Powell. And let's get a quick check of what's going on with the latest news. Schwani, we've got, you know, Amy Schumer? You know Amy Schumer, the comedian?
Yes, sure.
She's got a new movie coming up. You know, A.D. Bryant from Saturday Night Live?
The name, yeah, that's past my bedtime, Saturday Night Live.
Schwani, it's 10:30. What are you, like eight years old? They're in a movie together. They were here in Chicago this week. We're going to play that for you coming up after a check of WGN News.
So it will be Michigan and Villanova playing for the national championship tomorrow night at 8:20 Central Time.
Who are we rooting for?
Who are we rooting for?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm impartial
to root for Michigan
here
at this point.
Yeah, right. They were the ones that beat Loyola. You know, I really thought Loyola was going to do it. They were strong the first half. They looked good.
Beginning of that game last night, they were on fire.
Yeah. And unfortunately, went the other way. So, you know, at this point, frankly, it makes no difference to me. I'm not partial to either one of these teams. And you're right, you know, rooting for Michigan. Mm-hmm.
It's always hard getting off a bandwagon.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And from O'Hare to downtown, a half-hour trip.
Everyone's going to Grandma's house for Easter.
Over the Kennedy and up the hill
through the woods
to grandmother's house we go for Easter.
There's just a little kid walking by the window here,
mm-hmm.
maybe 5 years old, something like that, with Easter bunny ears on.
Oh, really?
How cute.
That is.
I'm going to miss that when we're in the new building.
We've got to do something about this.
I would like you to wear Easter bunny ears most of the time. Could you do the news with Easter bunny ears most of the time?
My ears are big enough as it is.
Well, I didn't want to say.
I don't need that.
I didn't want to say.
No, we have to set up a table outside on Wacker and just, you know, if
I'm sure
and
they'll
just make
appreciate
it. Just pretend that we're doing the show
I'm
out
sure they're going to appreciate that.
I still like my idea.
We move into the new building and we look like Sanford and Son on Sunday morning. Lamont, set up a table outside on Wacker Drive.
This is the big one. Well, as you keep saying, the Showcase Studio is going to be a mattress store.
That's right.
Get them as a, I like this idea. Get them as a sponsor, and we do the show from there.
Well, we'll see.
Well, at any rate, whatever happens, you know that for personalized traffic on demand.
With bunny ears.
You can get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago.
This kid was so cute walking by here. He's got his little bunny ears on. Walking
was he
down.
All dressed up?
He was a little dressed up. But you could tell he was proud of the bunny ears. You could tell he was digging
showing them off. Yeah. How old do you think he was?
Maybe five or seven years old.
That's awesome.
Something like that.
That's beautiful.
Really cute.
That's beautiful.
You'll look ridiculous wearing them. But
I look
was
ridiculous
really,
anyway.
He was pretty cute, this kid.
I look ridiculous anyway.
Who's that man with the bunny ears? Mom, who's that old man with the bunny ears on? He's scaring me.
I'm Dave Schwann on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hippity hopping down the newsroom.
The bunny trail.
1239. I mentioned that I wanted to play a recording that we had of a visit from Ted Neely a couple of years ago. Ted Neely from the original cast of Jesus Christ Superstar. He originated the role of Jesus Christ in the first in the stage version and then in the motion picture version. He still plays the role. It was here in Chicago a couple of years ago, and so nice to have our old friend drop by. It's just one of the most magnificent pieces of music ever written. Stunning. Get you goosebumps when you hear it.
Just gonna say, I get goosebumps right? Every time I hear that.
Right.
This is one of the big hits that came out of the show
we were talking about. Not the kind of goosebumps that I just had a few minutes ago in the showcase studio window. You scared me, Ted. You terrified me for a moment.
Oh, I didn't mean
in a good way.
I just wanted to say hello.
You were just Ted Neely played Jesus Christ Superstar in the movie version Jesus Christ Superstar, of course, from 1973. Right? Is that when it first came out?
Yes.
But before that, on stage, also this historic Andrew Lloyd Webber, Tim Rice musical. Man, you know, when you see him, you think of the visual depictions of Jesus that we've all seen all of our lives. So Ted, because he's been on the show so many times, is simply being a nice guy and waving hello at me with both arms extended in the window, kind of waving his arms, trying to get my attention. So I look up and I see Jesus with his arms extended in front of me. And I thought for a moment I was in a better place.
Yeah, so
it's nice to see you.
What a pleasure. Thank
it's always a pleasure. You are truly one of the most nice people that we've had on the program.
Know that. I just can't help myself.
Well, you've been out at the Hollywood Boulevard in Woodridge,
yes,
for special screenings that they've been having of Jesus Christ Superstar. And you and some of the other cast members, original cast members from the movie, what do people say to you when they come to you, you know, see the movie, to meet you, to say hello? I would imagine that people have a rather profound experience meeting you.
Yes, they do. And what has been the most repeated of all profound moments for me is when people will walk up to me, whether it's a grandfather or a grandmother or the son and daughter or the grandchildren and so on, they will walk up and we make eye contact and tears start to roll down their cheeks and they say, I thank you for giving me the direction for my faith.
Mm. Yeah.
And that wasn't me. That was that movie. That was the music you're talking about. The magnificence of that score that everybody can sing. It just told the story in a very humanistic manner.
So, yeah, yeah. Well, it's the power of the film.
It is
for sure.
Yes.
For me, my memories are, you know, from first seeing this rather revolutionary film at the time. I think part of it was that I might have been a teenager or in my early 20s then.
Yes.
You know, and it was part of, I think, being that age and wanting to be different than your parents.
Yes.
And this movie told the story of Jesus in a completely different way than I had ever heard.
Yes.
Any time previous in my life. So, I mean, it was a moving, revolutionary moment, I think, for lots of us of a certain age.
Well, I must say that Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber's original concept was to look at Jesus as he walked upon the earth through the eyes of his contemporaries, his friends, his not-so-friendly people, and they all saw him as a man. So you saw the human side of Jesus of Nazareth, and that's what people can so readily relate to.
kind of flack did you take when this movie first came out? I can only imagine that there might have been a few traditionalists not so happy, not so into the whole rock and roll experience.
Perfect word you chose, flack. You know? Especially when we did it on Broadway prior to the film. It was the first time it was done as a live production. And we had people stacked up all around 51st and Broadway protesting our going into the building to work, literally. And we would have to push our way through to get to the doorway. And I would ask people, pardon me, but have you seen our show? And the answer was always no.
Right.
Then I would say, would you please just come in as my guest and watch the production, and then after we finish, talk to me. Tell me what you don't like. I'll talk to the directors. Maybe we can change something. They were very surprised. They would come in. They waited for me in the lobby. After the show, I would walk into the lobby, and their arms would go up into the air. We love this show. It's wonderful. See, and then they'd come back and bring family and friends.
Yeah, that's a very interesting reaction.
And the biggest complaint was it was called Jesus Christ Superstar. They couldn't handle that. Then, second to that, was we hear Jesus is singing with a rock and roll band. Couldn't handle that.
People just thought that was sacrilege?
Absolutely. Yeah. Blasphemy. Absolute, complete contradiction of the Christian faith, the philosophy. But when they saw and heard those songs, loved everything about it.
Yeah. How did it change your life? I mean, you were, what, a young actor?
I was only six at the time.
You were in third grade.
Yes, it was the baby Jesus from the beginning.
You were the baby Jesus first. Okay. Don't remember that version. Must have come in a little later. I mean, we have actors in here all the time that, you know, take on roles that become signatures to them. They become that.
Yes.
A character forever. I wonder how that has affected you, being typecast in this role. So identified, I shouldn't say typecast because that infers something negative, but you were so identified with this character, but you've been so identified with the character, maybe, yes, on Earth.
Yes. Well, typecast is all right, because if you're going to be typecast in this business, what better person to be typecast
That's
as,
true.
You see?
Right.
It's
right.
All positive. It changed my life absolutely for the better, not only spiritually, because we got to make this film in Israel, and what an amazing experience it was to feel that atmosphere while we were doing what we were doing. Plus which, while I was there, I had the great good fortune of meeting the lovely lady who eventually became my wife. She's one of the dancers in the film. Changed my life in every possible way for the better. And Norman Jewison, our brilliant director, the visionary man who heard these songs and said, I can make a film out of this. He nurtured us as if we were his family the whole time. And there were only two people in the entire company that had been in front of a cinematic camera. Mm. It was Pontius Pilate, Barry Dinan, Josh Mostel, who played Herod. They'd done parts in various films. The rest of us, first time, you see.
You're all Broadway actors,
yes,
stage,
yes,
actors.
Yes, yes. Or street people who look like they could be in Hair, you know. mean, a lot of us were in the original productions of Hair together, so we were hippie-looking people, you see. And we could all sing and sort of dance, and it was the timing was absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
And we all feel that had it not been for the extreme success of Hair, that we might not have had a Broadway show called Jesus Christ Superstar, because Hair opened the door for rock.
Rock musicals.
Yeah.
Was there ever a point in your career that you just, you know, wanted to do a romantic comedy?
Of course.
To do a drama, wanted to do,
yes,
you know, something, but
absolutely,
you were so associated with playing Jesus.
There just were no calls for Jesus in the stand-up comedy.
In a rom-com? That would really be pushing the envelope. let me take a quick break, and we'll come back with more with Ted Neely on WGN. Sunday morning, WGN. Always a pleasure to have our friend Ted Neely in studio with us when he is in town. Best known as Jesus from Jesus Christ Superstar, the movie, from stage versions. Very interesting, Ted. You know, we're talking about this from the perspective of the early 70s when this came out. A text in saying, saw Jesus Christ Superstar for the first time last night on Axis TV on cable channel. Very cool and also very moving. How about that? I mean, you know, all these years later and the staying power, obviously, that this story has, but also the performance, the production that, you know, moves people today. The first time seeing this movie, and it doesn't feel like they're watching, you know, something that's dated.
No, it is not dated. It is so contemporary in its concept because of Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber wanting to make it a rock opera. The story of the last 7 days in the life of Jesus of Nazareth as seen through the eyes of his friends and his not so many friends. And they all saw him as a man. And it's not challenging the deity, absolutely accepting the deity of the Son of God, but people knew nothing of that until the crucifixion and resurrection. So you're looking at someone like yourself who's going through life questioning his good things and the bad things and wanting to do right. And it's a beautiful story, we all know. But put those songs, the magnificent songs that they wrote that anybody can sing.
It's what makes it so relatable. You can relate your own life experience to everything that's going on. I think that's the point, right?
Absolutely right.
That's the point of the whole thing. This is Hap on the line at 312-981-7200. Hap, you're on the line with Ted Neely on WGN.
Good morning, Dean, and good morning, Ted. And
hello.
Gosh, how many years? What was it, 1960? I'm trying to remember the year the movie came out. The
movie came out in 1973.
Oh, gosh, I was thinking it was the 60s. Well, whatever the case. The only criticism I really ever heard about the movie or of people responding to it, and even my own feelings, I'm not terribly religious, is there was no mention of the resurrection. And the resurrection really is part of Jesus' story and what made him so, so unique, if you will. Was there ever any thought of including that, or it wasn't just thought, it was just not enough time?
Well, honestly, Hap, it wasn't something that was intentionally left out. What we were dealing with here, Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber's concept, was to look at Jesus of Nazareth in the last 7 days of his life as he walked upon the earth as a man prior to resurrection. And they felt that the best thing to do, because they were looking at Jesus the man, was to stay within the humanity of the character, and that seems to be what has connected the world to this for so many years.
Yeah, the essence of the story. Thank you for the call. This is Linda next on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Boy, I love that movie. It came out when I was just graduating college, so I just loved it. I wanted to mention, I was also a dance student at the time and was really looking forward to seeing the movie because of Twyla Sharp, the choreographer, and the dancing was wonderful as well. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Yeah, I mean, it had everything. I mean, it had all your entertainment elements that you wanted.
Yes.
Obviously, this very profound story, but
yes.
A very, very entertaining movie, you know, with all the entertainment elements.
Absolutely. And if you just take the Simon segment alone, which was all that magnificent dance that this lady's talking about, it is absolutely amazing to watch that.
Linda, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Karen's next on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. This is such a thrill. I wanted to tell the story of my children who loved the music, and we played the record all the time. And one afternoon, I was out in front of the house waiting for my second grader to come home from school, and there he came down the street singing at the top of his lungs, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ.
That's wonderful. Is he available to sing today?
No, he's in Omaha.
We could use a good, strong voice.
Oh, yes. Yes, he is. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Karen. You must have all kinds of stories, I would imagine, right, of you know, fans through the years who may have been little kids when the movie first came out, now bringing their children to come and see you and meet you now as adults?
Honestly, just last night that happened. My family came and they walked up to me and I recognized them because every time I get to Chicago, they've always come every time. So she said, we have to show you these photographs. And she went into her purse and pulled out three photographs of me standing with their daughter, who I believe was 3 the first time, then she was 5 or 7, and then she was almost 10, and now she's 16. And there's photographs of us going through those years, that same little girl. And she's now a singer, and she's pursuing her career.
How about that? That's amazing. This is Mark on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, the other top 40 song was I Don't Know How to Love Him by Yvonne Elliman, and Helen Reddy did a version of it, too. I like the Yvonne Elliman better.
I agree. Yeah.
I read some program notes when I saw this in England, and some lyrics that I had had a theological problem with, that went away as soon as I read Rice and Weber saying, we wanted to write a musical from the point of view of Judas. And a lot of things that Jesus says, as seen through the eyes of Judas, make a lot more sense when you know that, because Judas wanted Jesus to be a great political king, and Jesus wanted to be a different kind of king, the leader of a love revolution, you might say. And Judas was very disappointed in Jesus, and everything he says in the musical, and even in the song you played, Superstar, reflects that. So I think people need to understand that before they object to the musical. I'm pretty orthodox in my Christian belief, but I love this thing.
Well, you're absolutely right, being the point of view of Judas, excuse me, because Judas is definitely the narrator of the piece, along with all the other people who were there, the human people that were there with the human Jesus.
Ted was, thank you for the call, Mark, I appreciate it. Ted was telling me a story during the break that the producer director of the film Fiddler on the Roof, which happened to be on cable last night. I was just flipping around, and I see Fiddler on the Roof. You know, I'm hearing tradition. Yeah. I stop for a second. You know, I'm a sucker for a good musical.
Yes, sir.
Watch it for a second. The credits come up, and I see Norman Jewison's name,
who produced
and directed Jesus Christ Superstar. And you told me this amazing connection that had one of the actors from Fiddler not been working on Jesus Christ Superstar, there may not have been a movie version of Jesus Christ Superstar.
That is correct. And the actor in question is Barry Dinnan, who played the role of Pontius Pilate. He was in Fiddler on the Roof.
Who is also, by the way, out at Hollywood Boulevard
in
Woodridge with you guys this weekend. So you can thank him when you go out there. But tell this story. This is fantastic.
Literally, they were doing the Brown Album, recording the Brown Album. It was still in demo form. And Barry got hired to be in Fiddler on the Roof. And he took his demo tapes with him to Yugoslavia when they're on set shooting. And he's thinking, well, I'm learning this character. I have to make him a dramatic person, and I have the music. And he said, Mr. Jewison, would you mind just helping me out with this? Well, he played what he had. He had 3 recorded songs and then just the tracks to the pilot work.
Mm-hmm.
Norman heard those 3 songs and said, Barry, what is this? And Barry said, well, it's some friends of mine in London who are writing a rock opera. He said, well, I could make a film out of this. That was it.
Wow. Just from
3 songs.
Listening to a little music on a cassette.
That's right.
On the set of that. Libby, hi, you're on WGN with Ted Neely.
Hi.
Good morning.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell Mr. Neely thank you. You came to the Hollywood show a couple years ago and we met. I don't know if you remember me or not, but we talked about divine intervention, and I think it was a divine intervention that I met you, because every time I'm feeling kind of sad, I think about that moment, and it makes me feel that I'm at peace, and it just brings joy to my heart.
Bless your heart. That's so kind of you to say that, and I'm so honored that you feel that way.
That is a wonderful effect that you can have on people. Libby, thank you for sharing that. Bob, hello. You are on WGN.
Hey, how you doing? Happy Easter to Ted and Dean.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is something on the lighter side. You know, since 2015, it's supposed to be the Cubs year from, you know, according to Back to the Future. I was wondering how come Chris and Jesus isn't out there throwing out the first pitch tonight.
How fantastic would that be?
Oh, why didn't you think of that when we saw you last week?
How fantastic would that be if you know, comes time to throw out the first pitch and you're in the robes,
yes,
and you step out onto the pitcher's mound.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
It's not too late. Game's not till 7 o'clock tonight. You're listening, Chicago Cubs. Hello, Ricketts family. You want to break a curse, this may be the way to do it.
God bless you, Uncle Bob.
That's fantastic. Bob, thank you for the call. That's very funny. Ted, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate getting up early. I know you have a busy day ahead of you with appearances today out at the Hollywood Boulevard Cinema in Woodridge. There are showings at noon, 3:30, and 7 o'clock. Autograph and photo opportunities going on throughout the day. You can get more at HollywoodBoulevardCinema.com, HollywoodBLVDCinema.org. And it's always a pleasure to see you.
And just a quick one, in case there's people listening to you, and I know that I do, anytime I'm anywhere around this area, and they're going to see what we're doing, they can go on my website, which is TedNeely.com, if we're coming to their cities for dates and times and all of that.
Yeah, and keep an eye on TedNeely.com also, because you have a new album that's coming
out. Yes, Rock Opera.
Very, very, very soon, so we can get details on that.
And thank you.
We can talk again when that comes out.
Great.
Happy Easter to you.
Oh, man, thank you for this.
Such
what a way
pleasure
to start
to see
it.
You. Wonderful to see our friend. Ted Neely, news is next on WGN. Tomorrow on the WGN TV Morning News, we'll be there with Larry, Robin, Paul, with all the new sports, weather, traffic, all the fun that you look for on our little TV morning show. I will be talking with John Krasinski, formerly Jim from The Office. He now stars in and directs, I think, one of the best new movies of the year. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow morning. What else do we have? Oh, we're going to recap the live production of Jesus Christ Superstar with John Legend. That is on NBC tonight. So if you don't see it tonight, we'll definitely have some highlights for you tomorrow morning. Now, earlier this week, we had a couple of pretty big names in comedy in Chicago. Amy Schumer, popular from Comedy Central and her own stand-up specials, a couple of hit movies, was in town with Adie Bryant, who I think is one of the best of the fairly new cast on Saturday Night Live. She plays Adele. She plays lots and lots of always very funny characters. Former Chicagoan, by the way. They were in town promoting their new movie called I Feel Pretty that opens up later in the month in April. We talked with Amy about the movie and her recent wedding, but also with Adie about being back home in the city that she considers her hometown.
Congratulations, you guys, on this.
Thanks.
I'm going to start, Adie, with a big welcome home.
Oh, thank you.
We're so happy for you in this movie. But all your success and everything that's happened your Chicago days, how do you just, view this kind of like a roller coaster ride?
Total roller coaster, totally overwhelming. And I mean, I so feel like it was yesterday that I was at Second City and living in Lincoln Square and going to, North and Wells every day. So it feels weird to be back here in this capacity because this is home to me 100%. And I find myself wanting my, sandwiches that I like to eat here and all
the
things.
What were your sandwiches that you liked to eat?
Oh my gosh, I always used to go to Pick Me Up Cafe in Wrigleyville. That was like my standby. So, but it's really special to me also.
Yeah. The, are your SNL experiences like super fun?
Oh.
Super great.
It's above and beyond anything I could have ever dreamed. And it's, especially when I was first here doing classes and performances around the city, I only ever hoped to just be able to perform and make a living. Yeah. So to do this or SNL and all those, it's like above and beyond anything I could have ever dreamed, truly.
Yeah. Amy, don't you think underutilized on SNL?
Oh.
I mean, you're on a lot.
I love to see her.
I see you in a sketch and it's like, I can't go to bed yet.
Right. And now they do those little teasers at the commercial where you see the thing they're setting up for it. And when you see 80, you go like, ooh.
Yeah.
I would love for her to be in every sketch.
Right. Obviously, part of the reason that you wanted her to be part of I Feel Pretty, right? What do you think that she brings to it? Because, I mean, it's really funny.
Yeah.
But at the core of this, I mean, it's kind of a serious story, isn't it, about how we view others and how we view ourselves?
Yeah, for sure. It was, we had this, kind of weird backlash when the trailer came out. People kind of decided how they felt about the movie. And, but I
I think what they misunderstood was that this isn't a movie about a girl who's horribly disfigured and disgusting finding confidence. It's about just a woman who really struggles with self-esteem and with feeling invisible, and that's something that I think is we can all relate to, right. You know? And it was really important to me to show like real female friendships, you know, where you have like your chosen family and the people you surround yourself with, and the kind of shorthand you have with friends. You make fun of each other and right. You just love each other. And so I feel really lucky that Adi and I were friends before, and that, you know, she was available the exact days that we were shooting. Yeah. Where really, it was amazing that happened. But yeah, just like, you know, she's just the coolest and so funny, and it's just I admire her, and so it was just fun to get to hang with her, but also I'm excited for people to see just like a real friendship.
Is it my birthday or something?
Like, bring in the cake.
And we're in Chicago, and the theater where we're having the preview tonight is like a theater that we've both gone to a good amount, and yeah, and it was fun driving in through the city with her. She's like, that's my dorm.
I know.
That's where we would go. We were drunk. I was like, oh.
Amy pretending like she was paying attention the whole
fully.
Time.
I was Googling myself. Yeah. No, actually, I was going, what does this corner mean to you? What is this corner? I was hoping for more dirt, but it was mostly just sweet and authentic.
Yeah. At 80, darn it. Loved seeing you at the March for Our Lives.
Oh, thanks.
Over the weekend.
Yeah.
Great that you participated. What did that mean to you, too? Be part of that.
To be part of it? Well, it means a lot of things. The first thing is like, I couldn't not be a part of it. I can't. We both have talked about this, too. Like, you just have that gene where you just need to stand up for what you believe in. And, like, if I were the kind of person who could stay home that day, then I would. But it means so much to me to you know, to keep working toward ending gun violence. And just seeing those kids, this is the most movement I've seen since I got involved with Everytown for Gun Safety. And right. it was really encouraging, you know?
It was great to see so many people.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids are inspiring, but
right.
It's so nice to see people who could have been any place else.
They really showed up.
It took time to be there for it.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your marriage.
Yeah, thank you.
Also, which is cool. I was reading about your wedding. Is it true that you were telling sex jokes during the vows?
They weren't jokes. Like, they were vows, you know? Okay. And everyone tells you, you won't have sex anymore. You will fully stop. And so part of my vows was like, I'm going to really try to have that not be true.
Right.
And I thought this is an important thing to vow, because there's so few things in life that are fun and free.
And the honesty is...
It was sweet.
And I almost never charge him.
That's sweet.
The honesty is refreshing.
Oh,
it was an honest wedding. Yeah.
It was truly.
So now that you've had the benefit of being married for a little while, uh-huh. what's surprised you? And, you know, we're getting into wedding season now. What advice do you have for people who are getting ready? Because you super secret planned this. And,
you know, I planned it in 3 days.
Exactly the way you wanted, I guess.
What I have found is... I'm so grateful to, because I'm learning more and more, you know, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg documentary is coming out in May, and to see these women who find these partners that really hold them up and encourage them and support them, and you're just total partners. And I wasn't going to settle for less than that, and I found just a really beautiful, great partner. So my advice would be, and Adi has the same thing, she's more secretive than I am, but like just these real, because your partners really encourage you, you know, your friends, your family, they mean the world, but to have that person that you live with who loves you and is saying like, keep going, it means everything, you know?
Beautiful. Not the answer I expected.
Well, isn't that true?
Yes, totally.
This is like an episode of Oprah here. All
I'm
of a sudden.
Really going there.
Amy Schumer and Adi Bryant, their movie will open April the 20th. In Chicago. I'll tell you a lot more about it as we get a little bit closer to that. Speaking of movies, by the way, the Steven Spielberg basically animated movie Ready Player One. I say basically animated because much of the movie is set in virtual reality with essentially animated characters. I wound up giving it a C+, but people loving it. I think people are more into virtual reality. I think that probably the closer you are to being a millennial, the more you're going to like this movie. I liked it. I didn't love it. But anyway, that turned out to be the number one movie of the weekend, $53 million. As you know, we talk entertainment every weekday morning, right around 8:10 in the morning with Steve Cochran, Monday through Friday. We always have tons of laughs. I hope you can join us for that. As I had mentioned, we will be on the WGN-TV morning news, as always, Monday through Friday. Tomorrow, talking with John Krasinski, formerly of The Office. He and his real-life wife, Emily Blunt, starring in the new movie called A Quiet Place that I really loved. And I'll be telling you a lot more about that this coming week. We've got Amy Guth coming up next, filling in for Frank Fontana with a surprise show today here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago.